This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Here we go.
Everybody is just on the beat screaming, kill, 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 this is hockey!
Oh my lord! Wow!
This is the Puck Podcast.
I was very entertained and excited. I couldn't believe how good it was.
Shut your yap.
This is the Puck Podcast.
There's a point where it just becomes absurd.
That was gutless. Gutless.
This is the Puck Podcast.
Hi, I'm Wayne Gretzky, and you're listening to the real great one.
This is the Puck Podcast with Eddie Garcia and Doug Stolhan.
Okay, guys, show us what you got.
From Los Angeles, I'm Eddie Garcia, along with Doug Stolhan. Thanks for joining us for another edition of the Puck Podcast. It is Wednesday, November the 22nd, 2023. On this week's show, in the first period, we discuss all the news from the past week in the NHL. It's the typical injury stuff, but we also have an unfortunate off-ice incident involving a well-known NHL player. We'll also have our weekly After Further Review segment. Second period, Travis Howe and Laith Morad from NHL Breakaway will talk with Doug about NHL NFTs and your opportunity to win a free pack. And in the third period, we'll read your emails, all that and more. And we have our plus-minus segment as well. All that and more on this edition of the Puck Podcast. But before we get into that, time for a quick off-ice report, checking in what's going on with myself and my co-host Doug Stolhan over the past week or so. Hello, Doug, and happy day before Thanksgiving.
Day after Thanksgiving for me, my friend. I had mine yesterday. My wife and I work on Thanksgiving Day because there's football games that day. So we had ours yesterday, and successful once again. Turkey dinner, stuffing, potatoes, all the fixings, all the good stuff, pumpkin pie, pecan pie, all that good stuff. Friends, family, and food are three favorite F's.
Very good. It's always a bit of a conflict for me and my wife. I'm sure we've talked about this before, but she loves Christmas, and I'm on Christmas, but I love Thanksgiving, and she is on Thanksgiving, so...
She is waiting with bated breath to start decorating the house on Friday.
She can't wait until the day
turn
after
on her music.
The 100%. She cannot wait until the day after Thanksgiving so she can get her Christmas on. And I
have any protest.
No, I do protest. We got in a, not an argument, but we got in a debate because we went to Disneyland for the first time in a while after our vacation, and we had some blackout dates as well. So we went last week, and they've got it all ready for Christmas. It's, you know, the lights are everywhere, the castle's lit up, it's a small
Christmas parade,
everything. Yep. The Christmas tree, and she was on cloud nine, and I'm just kind of like, meh. Because I'm one of those people who thinks that Christmas shouldn't exist until the day after Thanksgiving. That doesn't happen anymore because you can hear Christmas music at the gas station the other day. The commercials are playing already for Christmas. So it annoys me. So we got in a little bit of a debate about how this is not, you know, I mean, I'm happy she enjoyed that. It was fine. You know, I'm not going to tell her you have to stifle your happiness and while we're at Disneyland, but I mean, like I said, there's a little bit of a friction between us when I am gruff about Christmas already being here when my favorite holiday hasn't happened yet. And it's getting not ignored, but you know, I understand there's no turkey song except for one. There's no, you know, you don't put up lights necessarily for Thanksgiving. Although our neighbor does have some orange lights up, which will be pulled down immediately after the day after because he's a Christmas lights guy. But anyway. So.
Well, those orange lights can also be from Halloween.
That's true. Yes.
An autumn festival kind of thing. But no, Thanksgiving, the reason you and I like it is a lot of the reasons that it gets overlooked and trampled on every year is because there is no pomp and circumstance. There is no obligations other than on the final or on the fourth Thursday of November, get together with your family and friends and have a great meal. That's it.
And it's okay for football to be on the entire time while you're having your meal.
Right. And I mean, actually, I imagine that's the case at your house 24/7, but yes. So it's just there's no gift obligation. There's no decoration. You don't have to get your cards out. You don't have to take pictures. You're not going to church that day. You're not decorating your house. It's just enjoy the day. So you and I like that. We're definitely both Thanksgiving people, but we are in the vast minority, and we are just the old man yelling at clouds every year that, you know, Christmas comes too early and starts too early and blah, 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 blah.
The cloud looks like my wife.
Well, we're fighting a losing battle, and it's just getting, I mean, look at Black Friday, which used to be the day after Thanksgiving, all these companies would have great sales. That now starts, you know, days ago. You know, I was getting emails and websites were updated with Black Friday deals last weekend. So that's now a week-long process which is a good thing because people were literally getting trampled at stores so that people could get a discount on a TV or something of that nature. But that seemed outrageous. But no, it's unfortunate that our favorite holiday gets overlooked, but we do have that one day a year to just focus on that. And it's always bugged me that the last thing in the damn Macy's Day Thanksgiving parade is Santa. Beat it. You got your parade. You got your events. This is the Thanksgiving Day parade.
Yeah.
Interloper. Yeah. We don't need it. Oh, Christmas is here. Beat it, man.
We here at the Puck Podcast are very thankful for all of you, our longtime loyal listeners, and so we'll take this opportunity to say thank you to everyone who has supported the Puck Podcast from long ago or from a short time. So appreciate that. There was only one other thing I was going to mention. I have not gone to the movies in quite some time. I think I may have to go, and I can't remember the last time I went to an IMAX movie. I think I might have to go see this Napoleon movie in the old IMAX there just for the spectacle of it. I'm a big Ridley Scott fan. I always enjoy his movies. So I got an extra day off from work since Thanksgiving's Thursday, and then I get the Friday off too. So I may have to go head out to the movie theater and check that out. I'll tell you next week if I do.
Napoleon is the one that's going to get you back?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, interesting. I like I said, I'm a big Ridley Scott fan. It looks epic, and Joaquin Phoenix is always excellent. So yeah, I love history too. I'm sure it's not very historically accurate, but I don't give a crap. I'm going to be entertained.
That's right. Let us know how it is.
I will if I go. Anything else to add before we get into the show?
No.
All right. Then let's get into it. Time for the first period, and we will start off by talking about what happened on the ice, and we go day by day. We'll start with last Wednesday. We had four games on the schedule, and we're going to give you a little note on all four of those games. We'll start with the Edmonton Oilers beating the Seattle Kraken 4-3 in overtime as Evander Kane had a natural hat trick. His second goal of the game ended up tying it up in the third period. And then his third goal was the overtime game winner, his seventh career hat trick. And that moved the Oilers to 2-0 under new head coach Chris Knobloch. Flyers beat the Hurricanes 3-1. Philadelphia goalie Carter Hart, back from injury, made 31 saves in the win. He had been out since November 1st due to injury and illness as the Flyers continue to surprise here on the season. John Tortorella's got those guys playing pretty well, certainly better than any of us expected.
Surprise is an understatement.
Yeah, I hear you. Avalanche beat the Ducks 8-2. Colorado scored five goals in the third period. And the Canucks in overtime beat the Islanders 4-3. Quinn Hughes continues his great season. He gets the overtime game winner, and the Islanders at that point had lost six in a row.
Well, the Canucks continue their hot streak there as well. And Quinn Hughes is just unbelievable this year.
Scoring a lot of goals, those Canucks, that's for sure.
Yeah, their offense is definitely clicking. As I look at these stats right now, they lead the NHL in goals and are the only ones that have 70 goals already this year. And they have 78. They're closing in on 80.
And they've got multiple players in the top, like, seven, I think, of goals and points. So
I think there was a time when they had three guys tied for the lead.
Wow.
I mean, let me take a look at this real quick. They had Quinn Hughes, Elias Pettersson, and JT Miller, I think, were all tied for the league lead at one point.
Yeah, they're all there. They're not anymore, but they're all right there.
Well, they're all within two. Quinn Hughes is a defenseman leading the league in points. He already has 30 points on the year.
When's the last time that happened?
Yeah, probably – well, yeah, you're going to need an off year from Connor McDavid, and that's what we're getting.
Yeah, you've got it. Yeah,
he's way down the list. In fact, he's not even on the top 25, which is hard to believe. You would have that bet.
He wasn't in the top 50 as of a couple of weeks ago. I'm pretty sure he hasn't moved up since then. So, yeah.
But the how much do you buy into the bump? Obviously, you and I never played professional sports or even collegiate sports, so we don't know the dynamic in a locker room when there's a coaching change mid-season and somebody else comes in and is now in charge. The boss yesterday is gone. But how much do you buy into that impacting the Oilers' success and their change of not reversal of fortunes, but certainly they've been playing better than they were when they in the games leading up to Jay Woodcroft's dismissal?
I mean, we've seen it a lot in hockey make a difference. We've seen multiple Stanley Cup winners win after making a coaching change. Now, we tend to remember when it works and not so much when it doesn't work. I mean, right. I would like to go back and see, you know, look at the coaching changes and how many times did it do absolutely nothing. And that certainly has happened.
Especially long term. Like, there's always a short term bump, maybe.
Right.
But a month, 2 months later, are we right back where we were?
Yeah, I do kind of get the feeling that that's going to be the case with the Oilers. I think they got a little bit of a bump, but I don't know that this is going to make a lasting change, because the goalies are still the goalies. And if Connor McDavid is still hurt and not 100% and not playing well, right? That's, you know, yep. We'll see. The Oilers got a little bump, but I'll be surprised if it makes a significant difference, but I get why they did it. By the way, and I should have known this, but I wasn't totally sure, the last defenseman to win a scoring title in the NHL was, and the only one ever to do it was, of course, Bobby Orr back in the 70s. So, yeah.
That would be something if Quinn Hughes could pull this off. He's got a long way to go. I mean, we're talking another 60 games or more.
Yep.
So, certainly a lot of work and the players that he's already in competition with on his own team. You know, those guys are going to be in a lot more positions to produce points just by the fact that they're forwards and they're going to have the puck a little bit more often on the rush and whatnot. But the fact that he's doing it at all is pretty amazing. And, you know, as we get to the standings later in this first period, a lot of people look at American Thanksgiving as a time where they say, okay, we're far enough into the season now that we know what these teams are. And the standings now are similar to how they will look at the end of the season. I'm not necessarily buying into that. I never have, but I do get where they're coming from because historically that's accurate. Most of the teams that are in a playoff position now will make the playoffs at the end of the season. And if you're out of the playoffs, history tells us your odds of making it are not very good at this point in the season. But I look at some of the teams that are in the playoffs right now and I say, I'm still not buying. Right. And
we'll talk about that when we get.
The Philadelphia Flyers are one of them, but you can't deny that John Tortorella. And remember, they were the first team to lose to the San Jose Sharks, and that's one of their seven regulation losses on the year through 18 games. But we have derided Tortorella for a while on this show and said that his style of coaching is not to our liking, and we don't think he's cut out for today's NHL and the system and the players, that the mentality of the players and whatnot, but you can't deny the results. They are in a playoff position. They are in second place right now. And as for the change in Edmonton, I think a lot of it, and we can all relate to this, if you don't like going to work, it affects your performance at work. And if there's just a bad vibe from the coach, or you're not getting along with him, or things aren't going well, it makes it tough to go to work each day. And a new head coach can, that's something that simple, can change the vibe and make it so that it's more enjoyable to go to work, even if nothing else changes. And if you're having more fun and you're enjoying going to work, you're going to perform better. Yeah. And when the results start taking care of themselves, when you start winning games, it feeds on itself. So,
well, obviously,
I think that may be what happens.
Well, obviously, I'm not in that room, but Jay Woodcroft didn't exactly seem like the most demanding taskmaster. You know what I mean? It seemed like he was well liked by the players. This wasn't right, Daryl Sutter, John Tortorella situation where you're getting a guy out of there who was just making it not enjoyable to go to your job. So
no, I'm not saying that he was a Mike Babcock kind of thing, but I'm saying, like was the case, I think, in Anaheim with Dallas Eakins, when the losing is there and you may not have confidence that this guy knows how to get us out of it, it may not be a personality clash. It may just be, I don't have the confidence that he's going to get us out of this. So you kind of tune him out, or it's been the same message I've been hearing for years and it's not working anymore. We need somebody else. We just need a different dynamic at the top. So I think that's what we're seeing right now. And I wonder if they do give Connor McDavid some time to get healthy. I know that every game is urgent and they can't.
I don't think they can.
In games, but
I don't think they can.
I think you almost have to.
I don't think you can.
We need you at 100%. So take a couple weeks to rest your injury.
I would say if things, you know, over a small sample size, if things don't change, if you haven't gained any significant ground, you know, from the time you made the move, then yeah, why not try something different, right? But I just right now, I think they've dug themselves enough of a hole. It's going to take something historic. Maybe you're right. Maybe they can't do it without a healthy Connor McDavid. Of course, we don't know what the injury is and how long it would take him to get to 100%. So
right,
yeah.
But you also look at, remember the bye weeks that teams have, right, where they don't play games. That's coming up for Edmonton. So they don't have a game after December 30th. They don't play again until December 6th. So why not after?
You mean January 6th? January 6th?
No, on November 30th they play, and then they don't play again until December 6th. So they've got a full five days off.
Okay, you said December 30th, and then you said December 6th.
Okay, November 30th.
Okay, thank you.
December 6th.
Okay.
They have five full days off. So why not in the at well, they play tonight?
We better do it now then, right?
That's what I'm saying.
Use the Thanksgiving break also. Every day.
They play tonight and they play Friday. After Friday, they have three games before December 6th. Why not let him miss those three games, if not more, and say take two full weeks off? Get yourself as healthy as possible, because we need you in the remaining games and we need you to make a run, and we need you at 100%. We can't do this with you as you are right now. And the more you play, the less healing you're going to have. Again, we don't know the injury and we don't know if that would even help. If 2 weeks from now he comes back and he's like, it's exactly the same, and all I did was miss six games or five games or whatever. Yeah. So it's a tricky situation, but they are, they're in a bad spot right now with where they are in the standings, no doubt.
Let's move on to Thursday. There were nine games on the schedule. We're going to mention six of them. We'll start with the first of the four Global Series games in Sweden. And Tim Stützle scored with 2 seconds left in overtime to give the Senators a 5-4 win over the Red Wings. This is after Ottawa blew a 4-0 lead. The Red Wings do get a point out of it, but for Ottawa, they do in the end salvage the win there.
Not just scoring 2 seconds left. I mean, goal of the year candidate, right?
Sure.
That's the one he swatted out of midair?
Was it?
I think so.
I know there was. I didn't. Yeah, I think you're right. I think that was it. Should know that. But yeah.
I mean, they played a
ton
of games in a short period of time over in Europe. But I'm 90% sure, and I'm going to look it up right now, that game was the puck came up and he took a baseball swing under the crossbar, so it was not high sticking, and knocked it right past the goalie, who looked like he was so surprised he ducked out of the way.
Oh yes, 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 yes. That was odd to see.
And
the goaltender, like, he avoided it like he's allergic to bees, and a bee was flying at his head.
Yeah, like, look out, that thing's coming right at my head, you know.
That was weird. That was
my
weird.
Lord, what a goal from Tim Stützle to win that in and just spectacular fashion. I mean, I've never seen a game end like that. And definitely gave the folks in Sweden something to cheer about and remember when they went home.
In a battle of two teams in the East that have not met expectations yet, go ahead and use that cough, go ahead and use that cough button, my friend.
All right, my mic is not on then because I had the cough button on.
I knew it.
It's on.
I knew it.
I'm telling you right now. Huh? Nothing I can do at this point.
All right.
I'm looking at the audio settings and it says Yeti microphone.
Okay. Well, are we pressing on?
Yeah, we have no choice.
All right. In a battle of two teams in the East that have yet to meet expectations, the Devils beat the Penguins in Pittsburgh 5-2. New Jersey outscoring Pittsburgh 3-0 in the third period. Coyotes edged the Blue Jackets 3-2. Logan Cooley and Lawson Crouse scored 28 seconds apart in the third period to pull out the win and hand Columbus their seventh loss in a row. Kraken edged the Islanders 4-3 in a shootout. Kyler Yamamoto had a goal, an assist, and the shootout game winner in the eighth round. The Islanders, that's seven losses in a row at that point. Kings beat the Panthers 2-1, snapping Florida's five-game winning streak, and the Sharks get just their third win of the season, beating the Blues 5-1. Kaapo Kähkönen, 44 saves in net for San Jose.
I mean, obviously a big win for San Jose and a hard loss for St. Louis, who had been playing much better going into that. It's weird that San Jose, they've really, you got to give it up to their organization for rallying after back-to-back 20-goal or 10-goal losses. They've certainly looked competitive, at least in the games since, and they have three wins since that embarrassment. So the speech by Mike Greer has worked, and what we thought was going to be a historically bad team that may only win 5-10 games the entire season is certainly looking much better as in current conditions in the last 2 weeks. But for the Kraken, I thought that was a big win as well, because they're in the thick of a playoff race, very competitive. They've lost touch with the top of the Pacific Division. That has gone on to another stratosphere. Those three teams are not going to be caught by anybody below them. They're going to be fighting it out for position the rest of the season amongst themselves. But Seattle needs to keep pace with the St. Louis Blues, the Ducks, the Coyotes, the Flames for that wild card spot. And amazingly, those are the five teams that look like they're going to be battling for the wildcard spots. The teams below them just cannot get their tires to get some traction at this point. The Wild, the Oilers, the Predators, they just, every time they win a game, they lose two more. So it's been frustrating for those teams. And they're not out of it, but they're losing ground, and they have a lot of teams to catch and pass at this point. So I thought that was a big win for Seattle. And on the other side of that, the Islanders, man, you talked about their loss to Vancouver, and they followed up with a loss to Seattle in the Pacific Northwest, just a brutal road trip. And eventually, maybe they find their footing, but they do not look like a good team at all. There's just not – their defense is not what it once was. Their goaltending is not what it once was. And that's what they need in order to win and compete. They cannot get it done with their offense. So it's going to be very difficult.
Three games on Friday. We're going to talk about two of them, or at least mention two of them. In the second Global Series game, the Maple Leafs beat the Red Wings 3-2. William Nylander had a goal and two assists. I thought it was in his native country, but actually William Nylander was born in Calgary. His father was playing in the NHL, and he grew up, I guess, in Canada for the most part, but he did spend some of his years in Sweden and does have dual citizenship, plays internationally for Sweden. Either way, back in his, you know, somewhat native country, he did extend his franchise record point streak to start the season to 16 games. I was told that that was Toronto's first game ever outside of North America. Interesting.
Well, that doesn't surprise me.
Doesn't? No.
No.
All right.
Because they're one of those teams that their home games are too valuable. You know what I mean? Like the tickets. Yeah.
And I believe I heard that they did not lose a home game by playing in the Global Series games, whereas I believe the other teams did lose a home game.
Well, that doesn't surprise me. The NHL always makes special exceptions for the teams they care about.
True.
You know, the Rangers get to host or be the road team, even though they're the host for the outdoor game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because of that special deal with MSG. So as I look at the Maple Leafs games, yes, they were both on the road, wink, over in Stockholm. So all they did was lose a trip to Minnesota and Detroit this season. And I don't think they're gonna cry about that.
Yeah. And the Jets beat the Sabres 3-2. Cole Perfetti scored a goal in his fifth consecutive game. The Jets are not a surprise, as big a surprise as teams like the Flyers, but a little bit of a surprise. The Jets are doing pretty well so far this season.
Yeah, and I mean, there's the fact that they're within shouting distance of the division lead is very surprising. And you got to give – I mean, we both said they should have given it up and not re-signed the players they did to the deals they did long term and started the rebuild, admit that it's not working with this current core. And yet here they are 17 games into the season, 3 points out of first in the Central Division. So you got to give them credit for having faith and making the moves they did to keep the core in place. And so far it has worked. 6-2-2 in their last 10, very good on home ice this year, 6 wins in their 10 games. So you got to give them credit where it's due.
Moving over to Saturday, 13 games. We're going to talk about 9 of them. We'll start with the third Global Series game with the Senators beating the Wild 2-1 in a shootout. Josh Norris with the shootout game winner. The Flyers beat the Golden Knights 4-3 in overtime. Sean Couturier with the overtime game winner for Philadelphia. Lightning knock off the Oilers 6-4. Tampa Bay scored the final 3 goals of the game, all in the third period. That was the first loss for Edmonton under Chris Knobloch. Bruins beat the Canadiens 5-2 to improve to 7-0-1 on home ice this season. Rangers down the Devils 5-3. New York extended its point streak to 11 in a row. Artemi Panarin had 2 goals to set a new franchise record for points to start a season, 15 games in a row with a point. Jack Hughes did return to the New Jersey lineup. He had a goal and an assist after missing 5 games due to injury. Avalanche beats the Stars 6-3. Colorado was behind 3-0 in this one, then scored the next 6 goals. Goaltender Alexander Georgiev is the first goaltender in the NHL to hit the 10-win mark on the season. Capitals beat the Blue Jackets. Alexander Ovechkin gets career goal number 827. He's now 68 away from breaking Wayne Gretzky's record. And for Columbus, that is 8 losses in a row. Hurricanes down the Penguins 4-2 behind 2 third-period goals from Seth Jarvis. Chris Letang had his 700th career point in the loss. And the Jets knock off the Coyotes 5-2. Kyle Connor, his 14th goal of the season for Winnipeg.
Well, a lot there, but the one I want to talk about, the only one, is Artemi Panarin. Pretty impressive, obviously, what he's been able to do, scoring every single game to start the season. Historic run and just consistency of production. When you have your star player playing at that level, it makes it so much easier for the rest of your team to slot in and know that he's going to do his thing. You look at with the Oilers and how they're struggling with McDavid struggling, and a lot of teams are that way. When your top players are struggling, it sets everything down a notch. So it's big for Panarin to be this big, and we know that they've got talent from up and down that lineup and across in all positions, in net, on defense, and that forward, obviously. But him being that consistent is pretty amazing. And it starts to feed on itself as well, where no matter what, you go into a game and you think he's going to get his at some point. And players and fans start looking for that each night and kind of feeding him the puck, and he's feeling good and making plays.
All right, then let's move on to Sunday, where we had 5 games. We'll talk about 3 of them. Maple Leafs got by the Wild 4-3 in overtime in the fourth and final Global Series game. William Nylander scores the overtime game winner to extend his franchise record season-opening point streak to 17 Austin Matthews scores his 14th goal of the year, and for Minnesota, they had lost five in a row at that point. Flyers beat the Blue Jackets 5-2. Philadelphia had won five in a row. Columbus lost nine straight. The big news out of this game, Blue Jackets forward Patrick Laine was a healthy scratch. Said in the media afterwards that he was blindsided by the move and called it embarrassing. Penguins shut out the Golden Knights 3-0. Alek Nedeljkovic, interesting week for him. 37 saves for his first shutout in Pittsburgh. Also scored a goal this week in the AHL playing for Wilkes-Barre Scranton on Friday, and he became the first goalie in AHL history to have two career goals. The other was scored in 2018.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is a hell of a week.
A goal and a shutout the same week in two different leagues.
I mean, that's a rare – we got the Gordie Howe hat trick. I don't know what we would call the a player that has a goal and a shutout.
The Nedeljkovic, apparently.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty amazing.
For sure.
If that's the end of that day.
Yes, it is. Games, go ahead.
The Patrick Laine, I don't know what Pascal Vincent is doing on that organization.
Well, trying anything at this point to wake his team up. But
I mean, he and Patrick Laine and him have a history going back to Winnipeg. Pascal Vincent was the head coach of the Manitoba Moose at the time. So while he wasn't his direct coach, they were in the same organization. They saw each other at camp. They interacted. They have a relationship going back to that. And Laine discussed that. But there's no doubt. I get it from both sides, I guess. Pascal Vincent, as you said, is the head coach, and he's trying to do anything he can to get his team going, to get his to reverse things. To get a player that should be a star player playing better. He has 3 points through nine games. But I also get what Patrick Laine is saying is, I'm not going to get going eating popcorn and sitting in the press box. You know, me not playing doesn't make me better. I don't need to watch the game at this point. I'm a veteran. I don't need to take a game off and watch it from upstairs to, oh, yeah, that's what I'm doing wrong. He's going to have to play through this and fight through it, and eventually the ketchup is going to start flowing, as Teemu Selanne used to say. But there's no doubt he's off to an awful start. The whole team is. They're struggling. And the best players, you know, he's benched Johnny Gaudreau at points this season. Not healthy scratched him, but benched him. He's benched Damon Severson, who just got a huge contract this offseason. So he's not afraid. There's no sacred cows in that locker room. But at the same time, what is this intention to do? I mean, it did embarrass the player. It did bring more attention to his struggles and the team struggles. And does he think that Patrick Laine sitting out is going to eventually help? I mean, obviously he has to think that. Or did he do it because he thought, I've got other players that I think could give us a better chance to win tonight and we need to win a game? I don't know. But I don't think Pascal Vincent is long for this team, because I think he's pissed off a lot of players already, veteran players. And when you combine that with the team not having much success, it's not a recipe for long-term coach. And this is a guy that took over at the last minute. It's not like this is the guy the team wanted and believed in as head coach.
Well, look, he's on a sinking ship and he's doing anything he can. It's probably not going to work, but you know, look, clearly it got Patrick Laine's attention. And you know, that's the one thing you can definitely control as a head coach is playing time, right? I mean, to get somebody's attention, no matter how much money they make or what their status is.
Right.
If his intention was to get his attention, if his intention was to get his attention, it certainly worked. So we'll see what the results are afterwards, whether it was effective or not, but he's grasping at straws at this point. It's like I said, the ship be going down, and he's got a bucket, but
yeah,
that's probably not going to work. It's probably, you know, if they keep losing, obviously he's not going to be around for too long, and he probably knows it. And so, you know, you got to do everything you can to try and get some results. And it was probably a bit of a desperate move, but that's, you know, what are you going to do? There's not a lot of bullets in that gun.
And if he's going to lose his job, at least do it doing things that he believes in and believes are right, you know?
Yeah, and I've said this before. I mean, the coach's job isn't to be your buddy. The coach's job is to get you to play to a certain level. If that means having to be an a-hole, then unfortunately that's what it is. You know what I mean? Yeah. Everybody, you know, if you've played sports, you've probably played for a coach you liked and maybe a coach you didn't like. And whether that affected the win losses or your personal performance, I don't know. But like I said, he's got a job to do. And if it means stepping on some toes to do it, then so be it. But yeah, it's not a good situation in Columbus, obviously.
Yeah, no, it's a, it's like I said, it, I don't blame Pascal Vincent, but I do understand. I get it from both sides. I just don't see how this is. You talked about, let's go back in history and look at the times that a coaching change didn't work as opposed to the times they did. Look back at benching a star player that's a veteran. When did that work? Making him a healthy scratch. When did that, man, that really got him going. I don't know. I don't think it was, unless he thinks it was lack of effort from Patrick Laine and he wants to piss him off and get him to play well enough that he says, you're never benching me again. I don't know.
Let us move on to Monday, which was the actually the final day of games from this past week.
Yeah, what was going on with Tuesday?
I don't know. I was going to ask you about that when we got to Tuesday. So let's save that for just a second. But on Monday, we had seven games. We're going to mention all of them. The Stars beat the Rangers 6-3 in the battle of two of the better teams in the league. Dallas trailed 2-0 before scoring six straight goals from six different players. The win snapped New York's 11-game point streak. Artemi Panarin did not have a point, so his streak ends at 15 straight games with a point to start the season. Lightning knock off the Bruins, 5-4 in overtime. Brandon Hagel with the overtime game-winning goal. That was a game in Tampa Bay, so Boston still undefeated in regulation on home ice. The Kings beat the Coyotes in Arizona 4-1. LA is 8-0 on the road this season. It's the third longest road winning streak to start a season in NHL history. Panthers beat the Oilers 5-3. Edmonton now 2-2 since firing head coach Jay Woodcroft. Flames in overtime beat the Canucks 4-3. Rasmus Anderson, the OT game winner for Calgary. Canucks beat the Sharks 3-1. Quinn Hughes, a goal and an assist in that one. San Jose 0-8 on the road this year. And did you see who dropped the puck before the Canucks-Sharks game there, the ceremonial puck dropping?
Which game?
The Canucks and Sharks.
Ah, yes, it was Air Bud, the dog actor from the great movie.
No, it wasn't, and thank you for that reference, because that was not something I expected. No, Prince Harry dropped the puck there.
I don't know the prince anymore. Didn't he give up the title?
Well, I think they still call him that, but yeah, I think you're right. I don't really pay much attention to that. But yeah, I thought he kind of removed himself from that situation, but
yeah,
apparently.
Maybe, I mean, look, it was all ceremonial anyway, I'm sure, but yeah. That's very cool that he would be the one to drop it. I'm sure the players would have preferred his wife come out.
She was there for what it's worth, but
yeah. Hey, good to meet you. Is your wife here?
And the Predators edged the Avalanche 4-3. What an ending for Nashville. Philip Forsberg and Yakov Trenin scored 16 seconds apart in the final minute of the game to pull one out against Colorado. It has not been a great season for Nashville, but that certainly was a very nice win for them.
And I thought a huge win for Tampa as well to beat Boston. Vasilevsky's still not back. To get that win keeps them in a playoff position, makes them, gives them the confidence that they can still beat the elite teams in the league. Boston is leading the Pacific or the Eastern Conference and the entire NHL in points right now. Once again, defending their President's Trophy with a number one spot in the NHL standings. But Tampa, able to beat them, had to be a good moment. And they have done what they needed to do at this point to get Vasilevsky back soon-ish. And they're in a playoff position. And when he gets back, then the confidence is going to go up. And they know that they can play their goalies to keep Vasilevsky fresh throughout the rest of the season. They'll have the confidence that those guys can beat the elite teams if need be. So I thought that was a big win for Tampa. And for Nashville, like you said, it was a historic one. But the season as a whole has still been frustrating. They are one of the few teams that have no overtime losses or shootout losses. So when they lose, they don't even get a point for it. But when they win, they do it They don't do it often enough. Only 7 wins through 17 games. That was one of them, and that's going to give them the confidence that they're never out of it, that they can score 2 goals in less than a minute, in less than 20 seconds, to pull a loss into a victory. But they need more of that, more and in the very near future, to get themselves back in a position to be a playoff team by the first of the year, where I think that despite the St. Louis Blues from a few years back, you want to be in a playoff position when the calendar turns to January and give yourself some momentum for the home stretch.
And as we kind of mentioned, Tuesday, there were no games in the NHL. There are 14 games tonight on Wednesday as we are recording this. And then you've got the Thanksgiving Day break for everyone on Thursday. I don't know why. I don't know what the reason was for that. I don't know if they normally do that. It doesn't sound, I don't remember them having like a full day off before the holiday break. That's very weird.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what the reasoning was for that. Either they just want almost everyone playing the day before the break, or I don't know. That was very, very odd, but no games on Tuesday.
I don't care for it.
Yeah, I don't. Someone would have to explain to me what the purpose was of that. That was,
yeah, because it was, it felt like, it almost felt like they'd forgotten something. Like, hey, aren't we supposed to be playing? Like, why did everybody have to have the day off is my question. It just doesn't make sense of
why. And I guess from a player's perspective, if you're going to do this, why not have everyone play on Tuesday and then have 2 days off for the holiday? If you're going to do that, I don't know. That just,
right. Okay. Yeah. It made no sense to me at all. I looked at the schedule and I thought, okay, there's not many games. Well, there's no games. Well, I'll be damned. It's just the NHL saying, hey, everybody take the day off.
Yeah.
I don't get it. And I didn't care for it.
Yeah, I agree. Well, let's get to the stories from the past week. And our top story, unfortunately, comes from the Law and Order Department. Boston Bruins veteran forward Milan Lucic pleaded not guilty to assaulting his wife. Friend of the show, Steve Conroy from the Boston Herald, reports that Lucic is entering the NHL/NHLPA Player Assistance Program. He has taken an indefinite leave of absence from the team. According to a Boston Police Department report, Lucic appeared intoxicated when officers arrived at his North End apartment early Saturday after his wife reported that he tried to choke her. Brittany Lucic told responding officers that her husband had pulled her hair. She said, though, that when talking to the police, that he did not try to strangle her. She declined an offer for medical treatment. Milan Lucic was arrested on suspicion of assault and battery of a family member, which carries a maximum penalty of 2.5 years in prison. The 35-year-old did not speak at his arraignment Tuesday morning, pleaded not guilty, and a pretrial hearing is set for January 19th. Lucic is in his 17th NHL season, his second stint in Boston, where he was a part of the 2011 Stanley Cup winning team. He's only played 4 games this season with 2 assists.
Well, obviously awful.
Yep.
No need to sugarcoat that. We hope that this is not the case, but how is it not? The police showed up and got the report from her firsthand in the moment. You know, what she says now when she's not fearful is going to be obviously completely different. There was a reason she called the police. There was a reason she told them what she did that day. I don't know if she was also intoxicated. I don't know if that was part of the report, but terrible. And as we've always said, we hope justice prevails. If he did this, we hope he's held accountable to the full extent of the law. And if he didn't, we hope his name is cleared as soon as possible, because I don't want to believe this is true, but I'm not hearing a lot of vehement denials from Milan Lucic, and him entering the NHL's program tells me that there is a problem to be dealt with, whatever it may be. And I don't think he would be doing this if this was all just a misunderstanding or a complete fabrication by her.
Yeah, I mean, not much to add. Agreed. It was sad to see. I mean, obviously, these players are human beings and they have issues like all of us do, or other people do. This obviously was taken to a unacceptable level, allegedly. And yeah, as we always say in these situations, we hope that the truth comes out and that he's held accountable if it's true. And obviously, he's entered the program, so hopefully he gets whatever help that he needs to make sure something like this doesn't happen again. So,
yeah, no, it is a I mean, we'll see what the end result is, but just hearing about this, it was like, oh, man.
And I mean, you know, right around the holidays too, right? It's
yeah. I mean, you just, I don't know anybody who would be happy to see this. You know what I mean? It's, I think the majority of it, and whatever you think about Milan Lucic as a player, I don't think you would want this to be true. You know, I would hope not, at least. I mean, just terrible.
No. Let's get to the ER report. Florida Panthers captain Alexander Barkov apparently has escaped a major injury. It was a knee-on-knee collision that he had against Anaheim. Jackson Lacombe, this occurred Friday night. He needed help getting off the ice, went to the locker room for evaluation, did not play Monday, but they're saying Alexander Barkov day-to-day for the Florida Panthers. I would assume go ahead and take the rest of the, you know, off of Thanksgiving and take it easy and maybe come back soon thereafter. But there was a major scare there for the Panthers, who are playing a lot better than I thought they would so far in the season. But apparently not a major injury to Alexander Barkov. Arizona Coyotes going to be without forward Barrett Hayton for 4 to 6 weeks, according to friend of the show, Craig Morgan over at PHNX Sports. Hayton is expected to undergo surgery for an upper body injury. He suffered the injury Thursday night against Columbus. Hayton with 2 goals and 2 assists in 16 games this season. Speaking of the Blue Jackets, and you mentioned his name earlier, defenseman Damon Severson expected to be out 6 weeks after suffering an oblique injury. He was hurt Sunday against Philadelphia. He was playing nearly 21 minutes a game for Columbus with 8 points in 19 games. Nashville Predators put forward Cody Glass on injured reserve. He's week to week with an upper body injury. In 9 games, he had 1 assist this season.
Montreal, I mean, that's only appropriate, right? The guy's name is Glass. He's injured.
There's no need to make fun of his name in this situation.
You know, just thinking back to the movie.
They called him Mr. Glass. The Montreal Canadiens announced that forward Raphael Harvey-Pinard is out 6 to 8 weeks, and defenseman Jordan Harris is out indefinitely, both with lower body injuries. Harvey-Pinard had 4 assists in 13 games. Harris had 3 assists in 16 games.
You don't hear a lot of Harveys.
Well, it's a last name. It's a last name. Hyphenated last name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then that's going to stay.
Yeah, that's not going anywhere. Maybe. You never know. Some random shots to close out the first period. The NHL's International Hockey Tournament schedule for February 2025 will be scaled back to just 4 national teams. The proposed event would feature teams from the U.S., Canada, Sweden, and Finland. The NHL and NHLPA have been attempting to stage the next World Cup of Hockey tournament since it was revived back in 2016 as a preseason event in Toronto. Sources said that due to its limited scope, the 2025 event would be called something other than the World Cup of Hockey, and that the mission for both the NHL and the NHLPA was to simply stage some kind of international tournament ahead of the 2026 Winter Olympics. The next attempt at a World Cup of Hockey is expected in 2028, as the NHL envisions having a World Cup of Hockey every 4 years in between Winter Olympic tournaments. The NHL has struggled with how to incorporate Russian-born players into the tournament, given the hockey world's backlash against Russia and the invasion of Ukraine. The International Ice Hockey Federation has banned Russia and Belarus from competing in tournaments through 2024. The NHL ended all business relations with Russia, including a Russian language website, media, and sponsorship deals after the February 2022 invasion. So in this event that is coming up, it is not the World Cup of Hockey. No Ovechkin, no Kucherov, no Shesterkin, no Panarin, no Vasilevsky. And you would also have no Pasternak, no Dreisaitl, as Germany and the Czech Republic won't be involved as well. So just 4 teams or 4 nations involved in this yet to be named international tournament scheduled for 2025.
Well, I checked my inbox and my voicemails, and I didn't hear any contact from the NHL. They didn't ask my opinion on this, so they don't care. But I'll tell them anyway, because I have the microphone and you will listen to what I have to say, because my dog absolutely destroys a toy. And as again, I would tell her to stop, but she's deaf.
Right. So, and you don't want her to go poop on your bed in retaliation as well. There's that.
Well, my dog loves me, so she wouldn't do that. She would go and, but again, I can shout as loud as I want. She's just going to keep on shouting.
Oh, top story tonight. Somebody gets that reference. God bless you.
Yep. If it was me, and they said, what do we want to do here? Any ideas? I would say, I get the whole thing with Russia, but you've also got Russian players playing throughout the league. So obviously you don't care that much. You're willing to pay them millions of dollars and market them. So if this is an NHL sanctioned event and you want to avoid the Russian flag controversy and Team Russia and all that, then just make it North America versus Europe and have a best of European players, including Russia and all the North American players, I think, and make it a playoff series, a best of seven. So I think that would be something that we would all watch and be interested in seeing. And it avoids eliminating, because you're punishing guys, like you said, Pasternak and Dreisaitl. They have nothing to do with anything, but their countries aren't good enough to play in this. I mean, that seems ridiculous. I get it if it's Anže Kopitar. We can't drag a team out there from
a team of one. Yeah.
Yeah, but he should be included in Team Europe.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So yep. That's the and we all have European players on our teams that we love to root for and are fans of. And who wouldn't want to see that, in my opinion, as a collective? You know, Pasternak and Ovechkin on the same line. That would be fantastic, as opposed to just Finland, just Sweden. So that's what I would have done if it was me. I would have said, we're going to have the international series. It's going to be a best of seven, and it's going to be these two teams. And I think that would have been some very good hockey and very entertaining hockey that included the entire league, the best of the entire league in one event.
Yeah, I don't care about this event at all. Right. But I have no problem whatsoever with your solution to this issue. That seems to make sense to me. I don't.
Yeah.
There you go. The Carolina Hurricanes released veteran goalie Yaroslav Halak from a free agent tryout. Halak had joined the team 2 weeks ago, shortly after it was announced that Frederik Andersen would be out indefinitely with a blood clotting issue. So the Hurricanes have been going with Antti Raanta and Pyotr Kochetkov. They were looking for a little veteran depth, but apparently Yaroslav Halak did not meet their standards, is what they were looking for. So Halak is still out there available if somebody needs a veteran goalie. But the Carolina Hurricanes said, thank you for coming in, and we'll be in touch.
Yeah. Oh, my. Oh, no. Nah, thank you. you can get your parking validated right over there. Thank you. No, leave the sticks.
And the Dallas Stars announced they will unveil a statue of Mike Modano outside of the American Airlines Center on March the 16th. I'm sure it'll be a very handsome statue. He is the franchise's all-time leader in games played, goals, points, and assists. What are your thoughts on the statues of the players? You like that? Into that?
Yeah, I like that.
All right.
I just, there needs to be a permanence. You know, you can't just be like, well, like when we went to Philadelphia,
yeah.
You and I, and we went through the statue, I don't know, garden. They got a lot of them there.
Walkway,
the Philadelphia, yeah. Sports Stars. Well, some of them have been taken down since then, right?
Like, oh, really?
Kate Smith is gone.
Oh, is she? I didn't know that.
Yeah, they got rid of the Kate Smith because she
said that's right.
Inappropriate.
Yes.
40 years ago. I'm like, grow up.
Yeah.
My God. Yeah, you know, yeah. She may have farted in an elevator that had kids in it. Who cares?
Man, remember that time Kate Smith let one go in the elevator? Man, that was something. What a memorable day that was.
And then the damn thing, the doors wouldn't open. We were crying by the time we got out of there. It was like chemical warfare. Take her statue down. No, it's absurd. Like, I find it ridiculous to hold people to today's standards, people from the past. And because it's unfair to them, just as it's unfair to you today, what you say today being held to the standards of 2073, it's not going to hold up well, most likely. And I'm not saying everything you say or everything you believe in, but something you said or did at some point in your life, and it's all documented now on social media, so they'll be able to trace it back to your, oh, look what he said. We got to take down his statue. I'm glad Mike Modano is getting it. I would prefer it be built and unveiled in Minnesota and then transported to Dallas for its permanent home. I think that would be appropriate. I know our friend James Curry said that he's a Dallas Stars fan. He is still hopeful that they will unveil a statue of Brett Hull with his foot in the crease, scoring the game-winning goal to really rub it in. to all Sabres fans.
No, I saw a replay of that recently, and it wasn't nearly as bad as I thought it was at the time. Like, I looked at that, and I'm like,
but look, was his foot in the crease?
I know, but who cares? I know.
I'm asking. No,
Sabres fans care, but
it's not that it was unfair that he got an unfair advantage. It was that they had such a strict interpretation of that rule all season, and so many goals were waved off. And then that one, they were just like, screw it. Good goal. You win the cup. Let's get out of here.
Confetti has been I was in Buffalo, so there was no confetti. So I retract that statement. But all right, let's check out the standings. And you mentioned it. It's like 75% of the teams that are in a playoff spot, or maybe even more than that, somewhere around 75%. If you're in a playoff spot by Thanksgiving, you're probably going to make the playoffs. Now, I checked last season. I did a little bit of research. So last season, if you were in a playoff spot at Thanksgiving, 13 of the 16 teams made the playoffs. That's 81%.
All right.
7 of the 8 in the East that were in a playoff spot at Thanksgiving made the playoffs. 6 of 8 in the West. Do you want to take a guess or not? No interest in that.
No interest.
All right.
Let's apply that to this year's standings and say, of the teams currently in the playoffs, who do we think is locked in and who do we think is not yet, we're ready to punch their ticket?
Well, I'll just mention for last year, Detroit was in the playoffs as of Thanksgiving, and Florida was not. So that was the Florida obviously made it in, and Detroit did not. In the West, Calgary and St. Louis were in playoff spots at Thanksgiving, in wild card spots. And then Minnesota and Edmonton were just out, like a point out. And so they made it in, and Calgary and St. Louis did not. So I believe the margin of being out and in was 1 point on both sides. So if you're out of it right now, yeah, you're in trouble.
That's the trouble. And that's what, and we're talking to you, Minnesota, Edmonton, teams that were expected to be on playoffs, the Islanders, Buffalo, Ottawa, even New Jersey.
Yeah,
you got some work to do
for sure. All right, let's check. Let's start in the Western Conference this week. Your top three in the Central are Dallas, Colorado, and Winnipeg. The Stars have 25 points, the Avs and Jets both with 22 points. In the Pacific, your top three are Vegas, Vancouver, and LA. They're separated by a total of 3 points. Vegas has 28 points. Canucks are 1 point back. LA is 3 points back. Your two wildcard teams are St. Louis and Seattle, both with 19 points. You've got the Ducks and the Coyotes, 1 point out. Calgary is 2 points out of a playoff spot. After that, Nashville, Minnesota, Edmonton, Chicago, and San Jose. Well, some of those we already know. But in particular, I would say, as you said, Minnesota and Edmonton. The Oilers are 8 points out of that final wild card spot, so that's significant.
Yeah, they would have to pass six teams to get to the eighth spot in the playoffs. They have work to do. I mean, only 5 wins in 17 games. Yeah, they got to get it going soon.
Over in the East, your top three in the Atlantic are Boston, Florida, and Toronto. Your top three in the Metropolitan are the Rangers, Flyers, and Capitals. Your two wildcard teams right now are Tampa Bay and Carolina. Just going by the points, Boston. By the way, Boston has a better record right now at Thanksgiving than they did last year at Thanksgiving. 29 points for the Bruins. Florida,
still only one regulation loss.
Yeah, and none at home. Florida is 4 points back. Toronto is 5 points back. No, excuse me, seven points back. Wow.
Yeah.
In the Metro, the Rangers have a 4-point lead on Philadelphia and a 5-point lead on Washington. For the two wildcard spots, again, Tampa Bay and Carolina, you've got Detroit is 1 point back of the Hurricanes. Pittsburgh is 2 points back. And then you've got New Jersey, the Islanders, and the Sabres are all 3 points back of that final wildcard spot.
So if we take last year's barometer, 81%, three teams that are currently in a playoff position will not make the playoffs, and three teams that are currently out will.
Yep.
I will go first and name the three I believe will not make the playoffs. I think you can remove Philadelphia and Washington in the East.
I agree.
Okay. And then I'm going to replace them with the New Jersey Devils. And
yeah, I agree with you on the Devils. The second one, I'll go Pittsburgh, but I'm not real confident with that.
I'm going to go Detroit.
Okay.
I still think Pittsburgh is, something's off there. I can't put my finger on it. So I'm going to say Detroit. And that is tough because Detroit would have to be a fifth team from the Atlantic. I mean, you're going to have an automatic three. So if I'm taking Philadelphia and Washington out, two teams come in. Yeah, you're right. It's got to be Pittsburgh and the Devils. Those are the two teams that are going to get the automatic berths. So keep the wild cards the way they are. And there you go. Although I guess I could change a wild card. Carolina moves up. Yeah. I'll say Pittsburgh as well. I'll agree with you there. Mm-hmm. As for the West, the team that's going to fall out, I'm going to say Winnipeg. I still don't think they're going to be there long term. And I think St. Louis moves up into that automatic playoff berth. And the team that then takes over the final wild card spot that replaces St. Louis as a wild card team, I'm going to go with the Arizona Coyotes. I'm a believer in what they've got going this year. And I think they've turned a corner in their rebuild with the veterans that they brought in. And I think that they're going to be the final wild card team.
Yeah, it should be pointed out, Seattle is holding on to the final wild card spot. They've played 20 games. They're the only team in the NHL, I believe, that has played 20 games so far. Right. So the other teams will have a few games in hand. I'm going to go Arizona as well. I'll say they replace Seattle. I'll go Coyotes as well.
All right. Yeah, the Capitals and the Senators have only played 15 games. So to contrast what we're seeing from Seattle. So obviously Seattle has a lot of days off coming up, and Washington and Ottawa have a lot of games to play still. So the games in hand will obviously come in, but there you go. So you're saying Seattle misses?
Yeah.
And you're saying Winnipeg makes it?
I am.
All right. That's our difference in the East. We're lockstep.
Let's check the points leader. We talked about him earlier. Quinn Hughes, defenseman, captain for the Canucks. 30 points on the season. 1 point better than his teammate JT Miller and also David Pastrnak of Boston, who each have 29. Then you've got Nikita Kucherov and another Canuck, Elias Pettersson, 28 points. So those are your top scorers in the NHL. Points-wise, goals-wise, Kyle Connor and his magnificent mullet and mustache. And Austin Matthews are your co-leaders in the goals department. 14 apiece for those two guys. Then you've got Nikita Kucherov of Tampa Bay. Sam Reinhart of Florida, which one of these names doesn't quite belong. And then Brock Besser of Vancouver, another Canuck, each with 13 goals on the season.
Well, I'll tell you a guy that doesn't belong. When you get down into the 12, Frank Vatrano of the Ducks with 12. Just two goals off the league-leading pace. Shocking, to say the least, and I'm a Ducks fan. Did not see that coming from Frank the Tank. We mentioned in a couple of weeks ago, I think you were off gallivanting around New York and having the time of your life, but there's never been a season in NHL history where an American-born player has led in both points and goals. Not the same player, just an American-born player. Okay. And that's amazing to me.
Yeah.
That's never happened. Quinn Hughes is an American-born player. Austin Matthews is an American-born player, as is Kyle Connor. So we're in a position to see some NHL history, but obviously a long way to go. Brock Besser, an American-born player.
I did not know Kyle Connor was American-born. Interesting.
Yeah. Where did you think he was from?
I thought he was from Canada.
Mexico?
But he is, in fact, from Clinton, Michigan. At least he was born there, as I look at his bio.
Right. I mean, that's what we're saying, American-born, not necessarily where they grew up. Like, Mason McTavish is Swiss-born because that's where his dad was playing when he and his mom had a romantic evening.
it could have been somewhere else. Didn't have to.
That's true. That's true. She just happened to be there when the result of the romantic evening occurred.
Yeah.
So, he's a Swiss-born player, but obviously an American. Yeah.
As far as the goalies go, and again, these are, I don't know what the minimum is for the stats I'm looking at, but Jonathan Quick right now of the Rangers leads in goals against average at 1.98. And regardless of the fact that he is obviously not the starter there, that's still remarkable.
Yeah, I mean, he's had five starts, which is not nothing, and six games total. So that's a decent amount. I mean, it removes the Alex Nedeljkovic three starts and Louis Domingue one start kind of thing. So
Charlie Lindgren, the backup in Washington, 2.01. Cam Talbot would be of the goalies that are clear number ones for LA, 2.02. That's third in the league. But like I said, of the goaltenders that are the clear number ones and full-time starters, he would be the number one guy, so to speak.
If you're looking at full-time starters, you're looking at Cam Talbot, number one, 202. Aiden Hill of the Vegas Golden Knights, 207. Yep. And I would go to Thatcher Demko of the Canucks at a 212. With 12 starts, 11 starts, 13 starts, respectively, for those three guys.
And save percentage, again, you've got Charlie Lindgren at 940, Semyon Varlamov, 934, Jeremy Swayman, 933. Those are all guys that are either number twos or sharing the net. Yep. And then you've got Cam Talbot at 930 and Thatcher Demko at 929 as your
And Aiden Hill, 928, right behind him. So, again, of the full-time starters, those are the three leaders, the same three for goals against and save percentage, both off to tremendous starts. And no wonder those three teams are fighting it out for first in the Pacific Division. Goals are tough to come by in the Pacific because not too far down the list is John Gibson of the Ducks. He's having a very good season. And so it's tough to score goals in the Pacific Division if you're playing in between two teams for sure.
And three of the top five teams points wise in the NHL are from the Pacific Division. So Pacific
looking about that.
Not bad. Not bad. Let's close out the first period with our
after you can close it out right now, my friend.
Oh, all right.
I got nothing for you. Head back to camp.
Well, then we'll have an extra special edition of After Further Review on next week's show, I'm sure.
Correct. It is time for the second period here on the Puck Podcast, and we have a group of special guests joining us today, one of which you may or may not hear from, but two of them you definitely will. They are from NHL Breakaway, which is a NHL NFT partnership and project that you will have the opportunity to get involved with very soon, as I am joined by Travis Howe and Leif Murad. Thank you very much for joining us. I hope I got your last name right, Leif. Patrick is there as well, but I don't think we're going to hear from Patrick. But if you hear a third voice, a fourth voice, that is who it is. But thank you both for joining us today here on the Puck Podcast and to talk about NHL Breakaway, which is a project I think a lot of NHL fans have heard about but may not be familiar with. And so that's what kind of our conversation will be here today. So first of all, let's start at the basics. What is a NFT for someone that has heard the term and heard about crypto but doesn't know exactly what either of them are?
So I'll jump in. Hey, first of all, thank you for having us. I think Travis and I are super excited to chat with you and meet your audience and kind of share our vision and what NHL Breakaway is all about. So I think hopefully the fans of your podcast will walk away going, wow, this is something I really want to be a part of, this community. And I think we're building an incredible community of hockey fans to get together. So really, we really kind of focus on digital collectibles. And the reason I say that is because, the world has gotten a little bit jaded with terms NFTs or blockchain or crypto or whatever it may be. And I'd like to simplify it for everyone. It's really, we use blockchain as the underlying tech to kind of allow collectibles to go digital, to give it the provenance that they need, to know that these are NHL officially licensed products, that you own it in your wallet, you've got it an officially licensed product, we can track it, you can collect it, you can gift it, you can trade it, but it has that provenance. And it's really, to me, as simple as saying, when you buy a jersey, you get that little, hallmark and hologram that says officially licensed jersey. It's the same thing. That's the physical world. For us to go digital, we do the same thing. We are really using that as the underlying technology. And, I kind of joke a little bit that when I say, hey, Doug, will you send me an email? I don't say, hey, will you send me an SMTP or send me a photo, send me a JPEG? Like, we don't say those underlying texts. We really focus on the outcome. And collectibles to us, you know, the sports world is ripe for really allowing digital collectibles to go digital, to get capture those iconic highlights for someone to collect, for someone to flex their fandom, to really show off that they're a fan of, you know, a player, a team, a moment, you know, whatever it may be. And that's where we've focused in. So to us, the technology is perfect for actually giving fans something officially licensed, something from the NHL. They can trust it, they can collect it, they can keep it in their wallet, and they know exactly where it came from. Outside of that, the rest of it's all fun. It's, you know, how do I trade with you? How do I, hey, Connor Bedard is, you know, lighting up, you know, Sidney Crosby, all these great players. How do I capture their, you know, highlights and really collect them and trade them and have, you know, play games and kind of join a community of other like-minded fans? And that's where we really are. So to us, it's about, these are officially licensed. It's from the NHL. These are moments with rarely before seen footage, you know, things that captured angles. You can just imagine in any game, how many cameras are flying around the arena and how many of those camera angles broadcast never shows. And so we're able to capture some of those. We're able to capture authentic sounds from the ice, package it together, and put it into a collectible highlight that fans will really love and enjoy and can have fun with. You can trade it. You can get onto our trading platform. You can enjoy it. And the tech is there to prove authenticity, and that's in provenance. And that's what's really important. So that gives you confidence that what you're purchasing or what you're getting involved with is officially licensed. So and I'll stop there, and that should really hopefully help your audience understand what we're doing.
Right, and to for people that are new to this, I do want to make clear, this is licensed by the NHL and NHLPA, correct? This is not owned by the NHL and NHLPA.
And the alumni as well.
And the alumni as well, and that's a big thing that we're going to get into as well, because if you're new to NFTs, you may think they're just JPEGs. It's just a thing. This is actual video. You guys gave me a pack that I was able to open up, and I got a Quinn Hughes highlight of him circling the entire offensive zone, waiting for an offensive chance, and then he scores a goal against the Sharks. And as you said, it's not just a picture. It's the entire highlight shown from multiple angles with the audio from the arena as if I was sitting in the crowd. And I'm not a Quinn Hughes fan, but I like good hockey, and that's fun to watch. And so I can only imagine if I got that for Leo Carlson's first goal as a Ducks fan, Trevor Zegras's ridiculous flip over the net in Buffalo to Sonny Milano, that kind of a moment, and capturing that would be a lot of fun to have. And I think that's where we get into, a lot of our listeners are hockey fans, or all of our listeners are hockey fans, and a lot of them grew up collecting sports cards. How would you say this is similar to collecting sports cards, if at all?
I'll start, Leith, if it's all right. I always say I've collected sports cards. You know, I did a lot more as a child growing up. But the cards that I continue to collect today are really two players, my father and my grandfather. My dad's a lot easier to collect than Gordy, but at least it doesn't hurt the pocketbook as much, right? But my dad, I've collected, I don't know, 150 cards or whatever, you know, whatever they've printed so far of his throughout the years. And I have them in this huge, I don't have it in front of me, but this huge binder. And the one thing I kind of realized is it just sits and collects stuff. I still love those cards, and I'll never, you know, get rid of them or something. Obviously they have sentimental value to me, but you know, and I'm not the type of person necessarily to say, hey, come check out my collection and I want to show everyone. But if I did, it makes it very difficult to do so. You have to be physical and present for me to share that collection with you. And it's just a harder way to display, you know, that those physical cards, where the digital experience, you know, I wish I had a bunch of highlights, if you will, from my father, Because A, it's right at your fingertips. It's on your phone or it's at your computer. I can literally share it with anyone around the world in seconds, you know, obviously with the internet. And there's just cool ways to display it. And last but not least, I'll say is where, you know, a static card has, you know, has an image, but there's less of an emotional connection with that versus a highlight, which to your point brings in a specific play. It brings in the natural sounds of the game. You can really, especially if you were a fan at the game, you can really right. connect with that on a deeper level. And so for me, it's just a new technology, as Leith pointed out, that you know, I think elevates the collection experience even further and enhances, you know, the opportunities for all collectors worldwide.
We're going to give our listeners a chance to get in a taste of what this is a little bit later. But to explain, the person you were just listening to is Travis Howe. Yes, his grandfather is Gordy, and that's why it would be very expensive for him to collect his grandfather's cards. Many of you probably have his grandfather's cards, so if you're looking to sell, Travis is in the market. But it's moments like, as you said, being at the game and then having that moment as an NFT, because you remember it differently than it actually happened. And the memory kind of distorts over time. But having that NFT collect or freeze that moment and always be able to refer to that and hear the exact crowd reaction, see the exact way the play unfolded from different angles. And I personally, I love natural sound. I love not having the announcers talk over it and just hearing it like you were in the arena and hearing the crowd gasp as a player gets past the defense or a goalie makes a big save. So I love that aspect of this. And there's so many moments I was at as a fan over my life as a hockey fan and other moments I wish I was at that I can now relive. Why don't you guys tell us a little bit the different types of NFTs there are to collect in NHL breakaways, favorite moments, a rookie's first goal, a milestone goal, maybe a final goal from a player, a legend like Jonathan Toews, who may or may not be back in the NHL, but maybe his last goal and owning that, a game-winning goal from a big save or something. Tell us about the different NFTs there are to collect and what's available to people that are interested in this project.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of highlights, you know, that we've released, you know, to this point already in the NHL Breakaway program. And, you know, there's a lot of exciting ones yet to come that we're working on behind the scenes. But, you know, to date, really that, you know, we've been celebrating. I like to focus a lot on impact. You know, impact on a game, impact on a series, you know, impact on the season, et cetera. And so in addition to trying to find those, if you will, you know, top 10 highlight goals and things like that, that, you know, we all come to appreciate as fans. There's so many plays, you know, throughout a season or throughout a game that can make profound impact, potentially getting a team in the playoffs or in the playoffs, right? You know, maybe a game-saving save, maybe a series-saving save. And so I think those are things that we focus heavily on, you know, the word impact as well. A couple sets that we've released so far is with the name Opening Ice, and that's basically celebrating a player's first goal or also a goalie's first win. And, you know, well, you're a Ducks fan, right? So there's some great young players in Anaheim. We already celebrated Mason McTavish's first goal in our inaugural Opening Ice set. Of course, we have the great Russian defenseman that's there, Minchikov, and then also Leo Carlson, amongst a bunch of other players, and then also celebrate some first goals from, you know, some of the older players in the league, such as the Sidney Crosby, Alex Ovechkin, et cetera, et cetera. So that's one of our, I would say, pretty exciting sets. And again, something you can't capture on a card, but rather you can capture, you know, through a video highlight. And it adds some weight to it, in my opinion.
And you mentioned NHL alumni are signed off on this as well. So guys that have retired that whose careers have come and gone, but we all remember fondly. Let's say, for example, let's go different decades, a Peter Forsberg, and then go back to a Marcel Dion kind of thing. What could somebody potentially find? I'm not saying they're available right now, but potentially find for those players or players of that era throughout the Patrick Waugh, you know, the great goalie for Montreal. And we're going to keep this positive moments. We're not going to be able to capture the moment that he got pulled from the game and told them, I'm never playing for Montreal again, although we all remember that. But what kind of moments for guys throughout the decades might we be able to find on NHL Breakaway?
Obviously, I can't talk specifics in terms of what we've been working on behind the scenes. What I will say is that we want to represent the game in the most authentic way possible with the greatest players that have ever touched the ice, and celebrate the rich history of the NHL, you know, through all the positions, you know, all different franchises and in all periods. You know, it's not a focus of just the 90s, or it's not a focus of, you know, Gordie's era or the great Jean Béliveau. There's just so many, you know, amazing players that that we've, you know, we've been blessed to be able to see, you know, some even before my time, right? But being a hockey historian and you know, learning about all those players. So I think those are, I think I can comfortably say that we're, you know, we're focused on, as far as the long haul, of representing all the great players past and present.
And when you're talking about different variety of players, I had a friend in college who loved the fights, absolutely loved them. That was always the part that got him out of the seat. Are we going to see something celebrating the great tough guys of the past, and with entire fights, assuming of course nobody got hurt in the fight? We don't want to see, you know, Derek Bugard breaking Todd Fedoruk's face. I don't ever want to see that again. Once was enough. But a great fight that we remember from Stu Grimson or Bob Probert or somebody of that nature. Will we see something like that in the future?
I love fights as well. And I always love a physical, you know, match, you know, being in hockey my entire life. You know, we're not focused on, you know, plays that result in penalties. But in terms of celebrating the physical players in the game and their impact on a game, which I think we as hockey fans can appreciate, we certainly intend to honor those players just as well. I mean, I think there's a lot of there's so many ways to impact the game. It's not just the obvious goal or the game winner. It's not the, you know, of course, you know, there's maybe a great save that's made, but there's a great defensive play that's made. You know, sometimes heck, there's a highlight. I won't talk all the specifics, but there's times where a player has just been tenacious on a forecheck and outmuscled, you know, three players to gain control of the puck and sends it out to somebody wide open for a goal and gets a nice assist on the play. So again, I think we want to represent, you know, the entirety of the league, and the great contributions that players make in all different capacities of the game.
Will these always be individual plays, or would we see a montage of what you're talking about, the a player that was a big hitter, a collection of hits, or somebody like Pavel Datsyuk, a collection of dekes that maybe didn't lead directly to goals, but were just beautiful individual plays of him getting the puck past somebody or around somebody?
Yeah, we do. We call it a multi highlight. So like one of our first ones we did is Connor McDavid, and we celebrated his 153 point season last year, which I believe he was one of four players in the history of the game to achieve over 152 points. So we thought that was worth celebrating as a regular season accomplishment. And in that multi highlight, it was from two different games, and one featured a really incredible assist that he had versus Ottawa Senators, and then the second one was a really, well, he was full of highlights last year, but his 60th goal of the season, which was a really exciting goal in itself. And so, you know, it was honoring his 153 points. We thought it, you know, we thought it justified representing both assists and a goal and ways he's contributed, you know, offensively. So yes, the long-winded answer was yes. We do multi highlights, in a variety of different ways.
And then last one on this kind of topic is, what about team moments, clinching a President's Cup or President's Trophy, winning the Stanley Cup, winning a playoff series, clinching a division? Will team moments be represented as well, or are we sticking to individual players?
It's a good question. Right now, we're set up in terms of individual players, in terms of, you know, the way that you know, our highlights are created, but 1000% we're recognizing all the great moments that occur in a team's history, past and present, you know, in a variety of different ways.
And then,
yeah, and I just want to jump in on that too. We also have a tremendous community of fans that were early adopters, and you know, we're listening to them as well. And so we're listening to the hockey fans, you know, so Travis has his ear on the pulse as to what people are looking for and what fans are really looking for. Because at the end of the day, I think the word that Travis used was authenticity, and that's what the NHL wants. That's what the NHLPA, AA want, and that's what we want. So we really want to deliver an authentic product that represents the global, not only, you know, the global nature of hockey, because there's fans all around the world that love the sport. And so the more we can do that, the better. And so, you know, we didn't just launch and we're stopping. We've got a whole trajectory growth plan of, you know, where we want to go with this.
And a few questions for you, Leif, on the technical aspects of things. One thing I want to get up front for people that may not know, because when I was new to crypto, this was a question I had. You can buy this with credit cards. You don't need to have cryptocurrency to buy this, correct?
Yeah, we've really focused, you know, as a platform, we've really focused on the simplicity and the user experience. And again, back to the original question, we don't focus on trying to teach you the underlying tech. It's there. We try to focus on how do we get you the user experience that you want. So we want to deliver a seamless purchasing experience that you can buy. And quite honestly, we've, you know, launched a trade lounge. So back to your early question, and how's this similar to trading cards? You know, back in the day when I used to trade and collect, and, you know, I've got some fun. I grew up in Chicago. I have some fun Michael Jordan. I don't have a rookie card, but I have a couple other iconic cards. You could only trade with those around you who had cards. And so now we've opened it up, and the technology has allowed us to open it up globally. So, you know, we as a people and fans are no longer, you know, the Jordan era of staying with Chicago for so many years. LeBron has switched teams multiple times. You know, players are now moving around a whole lot more than they used to. And so people are fans of teams and players. And so if you're in Edmonton, and you love the Oilers, and you love Connor McDavid, if he switches, you may still love Connor wherever he goes, and you're going to still love, you know, the Oilers. So I think what we're looking at is, how do you make sure that the global nature of, if you're looking for a player, if you're looking for a specific moment or highlight, you know, an iconic play, that you can get to it. And, you know, by allowing you to digitally trade these highlights, you know, globally with anyone is super exciting as a, you know, moving from the physical to the digital world. And I think that's something that's really special, and it costs you nothing. You're just simply trading.
Yeah. No, the, one of the running jokes, as it were, on the show has been a player like Jordan moving on to another team. And then when he retires, I say, I'll remember him best as a Washington Wizard. And it's that kind of a thing. Like, I would love to have the first win of Martin Brodeur with the St. Louis Blues as a moment, because it's just, it's something that's going to be forgotten. Or Brett Hull's first goal with the Arizona Coyotes. It just is such jarring to the mind, where you're like, wait, that doesn't look right, but it happened. And it was a big moment for those fans at that time. So when you say you're trying to keep it simple, that's another thing I want to emphasize to people. You do not need a crypto wallet. This is all done on the NHL Breakaway website. You create an account, you use your credit card to buy a pack, and that goes into your wallet and as a collectible for you to access at any time. Do I have that flow correct?
You said it perfectly.
All right. And then you don't have, once you get a pack, you don't have to buy anything. This is not an obligation where you're joining a club and every month they're going to draw out. It's a collector's platform. You get what you want. You keep it as long as you want. You can sell things, correct? There's a marketplace to sell things, or is that not
yet? Not yet. We focused initially on the trading because, again, we're going after the – there's a lot of other platforms, you know, that have really focused in on, you know, the marketplace and everything else. We really focused on how do we build an engaged community of NHL fans. And so we focused on really allowing people to share their profiles publicly, to share what highlights they have, to gift highlights. You know, we've had tens of thousands of, you know, highlights gifted, and we've, you know, saw thousands of trades happen immediately after we launched the Trading Lounge. So we've really focused on the engagement in giving fans what they really want, as opposed to focus on a marketplace. It will be coming. It will be coming, but it is not, you know, we wanted to focus early on the fans. And I think that's what we got really right. And that's where we are really excited, because that's what we're hearing, you know, coming back to us is, wow, you know, you really spent all your time and effort listening to fans, listening to what NHL fans want. Travis and team, you know, product team's been incredible at capturing the moments and packaging them up. And, you know, the experience of opening a pack has been is mind blowing. And we hear it all the time, and we see it publicly posted on Twitter and other places. And so that's what we've focused on, is really back to the fan, back to the community of NHL fans, and how do we memorialize their experiences and their memories and let them have really have fun. Like at the end of the day, trading cards was all about having fun, and this is just a digital way of having fun and showing it off.
Yeah, it does.
That's what we're excited about.
It does bring back, for those of you that remember it, the listeners, it brings back that rush of getting a pack of cards from the shop and opening it up, not knowing what's inside, because you're going to get a pack, you're going to look at it in your collection, and you're not going to know which you have until you see them. But it's that rush of not anything's possible when you open it, and anything could be in there. And then going into the trade market and seeing what you got. I remember
there's no bubble gum in it, though.
What's that?
There's no bubble gum in there, though.
There's not. And that's probably a good thing. That gum wasn't the greatest in the world. But man, you love the taste of it because it meant you were opening a new pack.
That's now, right.
Yeah. You mentioned we have a lot of listeners in Australia, throughout Europe. All around the world. We've literally heard from listeners on all seven continents, including Antarctica. What is the global reach of this project right now? Where is this available to listeners?
It's available globally. I don't have specific, there are a few countries where we can't participate. It's all on the website, but most part is it's global, and most part it's, you know, really back to it's, you know, the NHL is global, the NHL fans are global. So we wanted to launch with a worldwide kind of appeal. And so we've listened to fans all around the world.
I love this. I've really enjoyed it. I'm giving my personal opinion. I've got into NFTs in the last 18 months, have really enjoyed the real world applications of fandom. It's taking your fandom, as you said, to a digital thing, having provable commodities that are on the blockchain that you can then use for real world experiences. I'm not saying this as that, but that potential is there down the road. I know MLB is doing these. I know NFL is doing things. I work for the NFL, so I know about the NFL all day, NFT project as well. And I really think this is still new. NHL Breakaway is still new. So if you're getting involved today, the old saying, the best time to get involved in NHL Breakaway was a year ago, and the second best time is right now. This is still early days for this project, and you can still build your collection quickly, and you're going to have fun doing it. And I understand that you guys at NHL Breakaway have an exclusive offer for Puck Podcast listeners. Is that correct?
Yeah, we're going to be giving away. We'll share with you a link that you can share with your listeners that we will be giving away Ice Nation packs. It's going to be a free pack to get people started. All you have to do is, you know, give your name, email, pick your favorite team optionally, you know, sign up, no credit card, no nothing. All we're asking is, you know, just that way you can claim it, put it in your collection, and you can start trading it. You can start having fun with it. You can start meeting people who are, you know, like-minded, fans of the NHL, because often, you know, your close-knit group of fans may not be as big a fan as you. And so it's nice to meet others and join a community. And that's what we're going to be giving away. So we'll give you a link where listeners can download a free pack, and it'll be on a first come first served basis. And we'll give you a limited number, and that's it.
No, I really appreciate that. And the best way to learn about these projects is to be involved. It's a free pack. Try it. If it's, I think you're going to like it because you're an NHL fan and it's going to be addictive. And the math is going to be, I think you're going to like it and want to explore more, but give it a shot. And so I really appreciate you guys giving our listeners that opportunity to try it out and see for themselves what you guys are building, the community you're building, and why it is something that takes you back, not only as a fan, but as a kid, just brings you back to that moment of being caught up in the collection of your favorite players and moments. And I'm going to turn the mics over to you for the last word here. If there's anything I did not bring up or you want to say before we sign off, but I do want to thank you all for joining us today and for this opportunity for our fans and our listeners to get involved with NHL Breakaway.
Yeah, thanks, Doug. I'll start late, and you know, thanks again for having us. Really appreciate that. And you know, I just like to say I've been in hockey my entire life, and you know, at coaching to scouting, so I had a company for 17 years that developed players, some of which are in the NHL today. And so I've been around the game my whole life, and I've always been around people that are passionate in the sport of hockey. And that's kind of been what gets my heartbeat going. So, and I can say with absolute certainty that I work with, you know, just as passionate people as I have in any other capacity within the sport. And that starts with Lathan Ice Company at Sweet and all the amazing people that are behind this whole technology of NHL Breakaway. And then, of course, working with the NHL, the Players Association, and the Alumni Association, of course, all share the same passion for hockey. So it's incredibly exciting, and something that you brought up earlier is it's new, and there's so many incredible things that are in the works that haven't even been released yet and will be released over time. And I personally think the NHL absolutely got this right, and they didn't rush to get into something right away. Sweet and NHL collectively with the PA and the alumni took their time to make sure that we provide a fan first experience, and hopefully, you know, hopefully your listeners will enjoy their first pack and you know, enjoy their experience.
Yeah, and I would just echo what Travis said. I think the NHL, the partnership that we have with them, and the NHLPA and AA have been incredible, and everyone is behind it and getting these moments right and getting these iconic highlights, you know, into the hands of fans to experience and have fun. And the community has been so incredible to work with, and you know, we're hearing a lot of great feedback, and you know, really listening to how to take this, and we've got a big vision, and we're excited. It's going to be a thrilling time, and you know, I'm excited to see where we go and how the fans react as we continue to launch new features, new functionality. But really, it's all going to come down to, we are focused on the fan. We are 100% focused on making this a tremendous fan experience, and a community of fans that really love the game of hockey and want to share it, experience it, you know, see the highlights, memorialize those moments for themselves or for other family members, giving them as gifts or whatever it is. And that's what's exciting, is there's a long way to go. And the hockey fans, if anybody, as you've been around, are pretty diehard, and it's fun to work with them.
That is Travis Howe and Leif Murad of Sweet and NHL Breakaway. And I should say the website is nhlbreakaway.com. It's very simple. They mentioned they're going to have some free packs for you guys to get involved. And if you are a Patreon of the Puck Podcast, you will get first crack at that link. Otherwise, follow us on Twitter and Facebook for access to that link as soon as we have it. And of course, we're going to wait for the show to air so that you can hear this before we post it, so that you know what you're getting into. But thank you guys very much for joining us today and for creating this, because this is going to be something that I think fans are going to love not only now, but for many, many years to come. And the ownership of those moments, as we know, time passes all too quickly. And that player that's a rookie is going to be retiring before we know it. And to have that first goal in your collection from back when he scored it is going to be something you're going to treasure, I think, for a long time to come. So looking forward to getting involved with this project and seeing where you guys go from here. Really appreciate your time and information today.
Thank you again, Doug, for having us.
Yeah, thanks, Doug. And good luck to your Anaheim Ducks this year.
From your lips to God's ears.
Time for the third and final period here on the Puck Podcast. And I want to say thank you to all of our patrons over on Patreon. We are thankful for your support, whether it's been for many years or recently, whether you've done it for a little while, maybe not doing it anymore, whatever the case may be. If you've ever supported us on Patreon, we say thank you very much for your support. And I understand, Doug, we have a couple of new patrons this week, or at least one.
We have a new one. His name is Paul, and we thank him very much. We welcome him to the Patreon family, and we want to let you know that Patreon folks are going to get first crack. You just heard the interview with Travis Howe and Leif Marad of NHL Breakaway. They've set aside 100 free packs for Puck Podcast listeners, and as an introduction to the project and NHL Breakaway, Patreon subscribers are going to get first crack at that because it's only fitting. They've been great supporters of the show for a long time. So I'm going to post that link there first, give them at least 12 hours to have exclusive access. And then we're going to post it to our Twitter and Facebook accounts. So if you are not a patron already, now's the time to sign up, patreon.com/puckpodcast. And if you are, look for a link posted very soon for free NHL Breakaway pack to get you excited about that project and get you involved with no cost to you. And if you're not involved in that at all, then keep an eye on our Twitter and our Facebook accounts.
And by the way, I do want to say apologies for the audio quality in the first period. We had a little issue with Doug's microphone. We have corrected it, and we now know the telltale sign of what that sounds like if there is an issue, and we know how to fix it. So the audio may not have been as good as it is now for the first period, so we apologize for that.
Yep. Us Luddites, because you know all we can do is look at the settings and yeah, it says it's okay. Yeah, pisser. But yeah, my dog, me coughing, it's all gravy.
The holidays are coming up. So if you would like to get yourself or someone you love a wonderful Christmas gift, you should see our friend Dave over at Tally Hockey Jerseys. TallyCustomHockeyJerseys.com is a website to access the Puck Podcast team store. You can get different styles of jerseys, a lot of different hats, things like that. And I am told, and we'll be talking about this soon, a new Puck Podcast jersey is going to be unveiled just in time for the holidays for you to check out as well. So again, go to TallyCustomHockeyJerseys.com. We'll certainly tweet out and put on Facebook a link when the new jersey is out to let you get a shot at that. But regardless, great Puck Podcast merchandise available. Thanks to our guy, Dave, at TallyCustomHockeyJerseys.com. And if you are in the need for a custom hockey jersey for your beer league hockey team or whatever the case may be, he can help you design a custom logo, different colors, different styles, all that at Tally Hockey Jerseys. All right, let us get to the feedback portion of the show. We don't have 16 emails this week, but we got a few.
We got a decent amount. Yes. Yeah. Let's get to it. And we start with Tom in North Carolina. He says, "Hey, Doug and Eddie, do you think the NHL?" Nope, that's from last week. Shame on me. We go with Michael in London, Canada. "Dear Doug and Eddie, what a season so far. Maybe I'm too devoted to my own team, but boy, is it ever fun to watch some games. Some teams fail. I feel bad for the fans. I'm not a monster. I am a Ducks fan, and I know the pains well of false promises, aging cores, etc. But boy, is it ever fun to watch the different media sources and vocal fans' heads spin. Not including this season, as it is still way too early to care about a lot of the standings. Any examples of comical sports team explosions come to mind?" Oh, that's a tough one. I would say I get it. You know, I'm guessing if you're a Ducks fan in London, Canada, and you're in Canada, I'm guessing you're enjoying the Oilers
struggles and listening to their fan base and media sources pound their head against the wall trying to figure out what's going wrong and how come the Ducks are succeeding and how come the Canucks are succeeding and all that stuff. But I will say, I think that's part of sports. I don't think you're a bad person. It's part of sports to enjoy the failure of teams you don't like. Rivals.
Schadenfreude.
Yeah, that exists.
Hell and, yes.
I'm a New England Patriots fan. They stink this year. They are probably the worst team in the NFL. But boy, am I loving watching the Jets struggle. And seeing them and listening to their fans and their media, love it. Absolutely love it. Salve to my wounds. So I get that, and I don't think there's – I can't think of too many comical team – like, I don't like seeing teams fail in the moment unless it's a team I hate. But there's always two sides to the coin, right? And, like, last weekend – here's an example. Last weekend, I'm driving to work. I work at the NFL. I'm driving to work. I'm listening to the NFL radio on Sirius XM, and they have an audio version of Red Zone. Where they bounce around to different games at different moments. And I was listening to the Chargers' potential game-winning drive against the Green Bay Packers when Quentin Johnson, their first-round draft pick, dropped a touchdown pass that was right in his hands. And I know that Eddie's wife, Karen, is a huge Charger fan, and I'm not happy she's upset. But I could not help but enjoy the absolute despair and dejection in the voices of their radio broadcasters as they realized it's happening again.
Yeah. And the hometown broadcasters, especially for radio, obviously very,
yeah, they wear their emotions on their sleeve.
Yeah. There's no objectivity here whatsoever. They'll be angry. They'll Phil Esposito, my God, you know, it's they let it fly. And I think he even probably overdo it a little bit, some of those broadcast teams, but yes.
But yeah, if it's success, they go crazy. If it's failure, you can hear it, and you could hear it. And I just love those moments of just emotional honesty either way. And I thought that was fantastic. And we haven't talked about it because it doesn't really matter here, Eddie, but the Carissa Thompson admission that she made stuff up, and Aaron Andrews said she did as well as sideline reporters in the NFL. There's not a lot of sideline reporters in the NHL. They do often have people down between the glass, or they have that person down in the locker room. I hope that's never been the case there. It's not necessary. Just if you don't get an interview or you didn't talk to somebody, skip that portion of it. Don't make it up. It's egregious to just, well, I'm just going to make it up then. That's outrageous. That's beyond the pale. And just, it's such awful journalistic integrity that it causes me to question everything they've said and done at that point, unless they're directly talking to somebody on camera. It's just awful. So I hope that's not the case for the many men and women that work down between the benches or in the locker rooms for the NHL, where they're just, I talked to the coach and he said they're looking to get a stronger forecheck in the second period. If he didn't say that, then don't attribute it to him.
Yeah, I'm not going to get into that. Let's move on to the next email. This comes from Michael in Iowa. He says, "Hello, Eddie and Doug. I'm a new listener to the Puck Podcast. Welcome, Michael in Iowa.
Yes.
Says, I want to let you know how much I enjoy it. That's great to hear. I am not only a new listener, but a new fan of hockey in general. My friends and I are longtime NFL fans, but decided this year to start following the NHL as well. God bless you. To help increase my hockey knowledge, I began searching for podcasts. 5 minutes into yours, I knew it was the one for me due to your humor and dynamic, and honestly, the once weekly release schedule." Oh, that's good. Yeah. He says, "As a new hockey fan, I have a question for you. What advice do you have, or what should a new hockey fan know to increase their enjoyment of the sport? Thank you so much for what you do." And again, Michael in Iowa. That's an interesting question.
Yeah.
What advice do we have for a new hockey fan to increase their enjoyment of the sport? I guess don't be afraid to ask questions. I mean, don't feel, you know, stupid if you don't know what's going on. If you have a hockey friend, watch a game with him or her and just ask questions if you need to know about, you know, what's going on, if you want to know what icing is and that kind of thing.
Well, I don't know what part of Iowa you're in, Michael, but I also know that Iowa is not that big a state that you can't get in your car and drive to other parts of it. So I would suggest you get yourself to an Iowa Wild game. That's the AHL team for the Minnesota Wild. And or an Iowa Heartlanders team, the ECHL team in Coralville. That's going to be your best way to get involved. And I think Hookya is seeing the game live. I think Eddie and I both love seeing the game live. You get a different appreciation for the speed of the sport, the skill of the sport, the impact, and all that stuff. So you'll be able to talk to your fellow fans and, like Eddie said, ask questions. Other thing is, there's so much great stuff on YouTube of highlights. So watch highlights from the past. Watch, you know, greatest goals from the past, big hits, great fights, whatever you like. Watch that stuff. Kind of get yourself hooked. And if you're a video game player, the NHL series of video games is a great way to do it as well. You're going to understand more of how to play it. And that you'll get to familiar with the players, and you don't have to have the new game. Get a game that's a couple years old.
Yeah,
just to get familiar with what it's like to play the game and the different positions and the rules and all that stuff. So that would be my advice. But
and real
let
quick,
us know how it goes.
Yeah, speaking of Iowa, I have to give a quick shout out to the Iowa Wild, who had the amazing Wookiee jerseys this week. As a Star Wars nerd, I thought those were awesome. I assume they had Star Wars night, and they were for one night. They were the Iowa Wookiees, and those jerseys were phenomenal. Phenomenal.
You like those, do you?
Oh my God, yes.
Oh my God, yes.
Yes, I had a nerdgasm when I saw them.
Oh boy, that we don't need to know that.
I think you do.
We don't. No. Now you see what you've done. You've changed the entire tone of the podcast.
How's it feel?
With your vulgarity.
Yeah.
I don't, anyway, let's move on. Justin in upstate New Jersey says, greetings, Doug and Eddie. Regarding last week's episode and the topic of teammate hat tricks in the same game, Doug was correct in stating that the Blues were not the last team to have two players score hat tricks in the same game. After some brief internet sleuthing, it appears the last time this occurred was March 26th, 2019, when Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and Leon Draisaitl both recorded a hat trick for the Oilers, who would win 8-4 over the Kings. Regards, Justin from upstate New Jersey. Thank you very much for that, Justin.
Good on you, Justin, because I mean, I work in sports and I have to sometimes, you know, and for this show too, do a little research and find out. I could not find the last time that happened. I it was really bugging me. So I'm glad that somebody was able to find that, because it was really bothering me that I didn't know the last time that had happened.
Agreed. It was much harder to find than it should have been.
Yeah, really. Next email comes from Jeremy in Nashville. He says, howdy, Doug and Eddie. A quick observation about the Hall of Fame inductions this past week. First, this may sound like I'm hating on Henrik Lundqvist. That, however, isn't the case. Henrik is absolutely and obviously deserving as one of the best goaltenders of all time. My point, however, is that both Henrik Lundqvist and Tuukka Rask have fairly similar careers, with the one notable exception being that Tuukka struggled more so with injuries, leading Lundqvist to play a decent amount of more games. Tuukka Rask, however, is one of only eight goaltenders ever to have a .920 or higher career save percentage, played 15 seasons with the same team, and is a Vezina winner. I don't believe Tuukka Rask will ever be a Hall of Famer, but I do believe he should. Keep up the great work. Jeremy in Nashville. I think Tuukka Rask will get into the Hall of Fame.
Agreed.
So, yeah, there's that. Maybe Jeremy will be, and again, we don't get a vote. But yeah,
they don't ask us.
No, but I think he will. I absolutely think Tuukka Rask will get into the Hall of Fame.
So. Yeah, for all the reasons Jeremy mentioned. I mean, the guy won the Vezina, won a Stanley Cup, had a long season, had a long career, had excellent stats. There's no reason, it'd be egregious not to include him, honestly.
I mean, let's put it this way. He's the best all-time goalie on an original six team. That gets you into the Hall of Fame.
Should.
Yeah.
Should. Yeah. Our next email comes from Paul in Charlottesville, Virginia. He's our new Patreon.
Oh, nice. So
thank you to Ed. He says, Doug and Eddie have not written to you guys before, aside from sending a postcard back in the day, but figured now is a better time than any. Began listening to you guys when you first started the podcast after searching for an NHL podcast on my iPod Touch to pass time while stocking shelves for a pool supply store to earn money as a college student.
Awesome.
Living on Long Island, there was plenty of New York sports talk, but nothing league-wide, which was frustrating for me as a hockey fan, not simply just a Rangers fan. I've been listening ever since, all the way through college, medical school, medicine residency training, oncology fellowship training, and now as a practicing oncologist, having lived in a total of four different states during that time. Throughout my life journey, the Puck Podcast has always remained a welcome constant in my routine that remains my main source for hockey, even in the current era of countless podcasts. Sorry it took so long for me to finally get on Patreon to support the show, and I hope you guys continue with the show for the foreseeable future as it remains as good as ever. Eddie, if I were still living in New York, I would have loved to meet up at the Canuck. Glad to know there is a new Canadian-themed bar in New York City after the closing of the Flying Puck. Let's go Rangers, Paul, now in Charlottesville, Virginia, and I think we should call him Dr. Paul, it sounds like.
Yeah, so, good on you, man. Keep doing that good work.
Thank you much for all of that. And yeah, oncology of all things. Yeah. I'm not saying, you know, if you're a podiatrist, you're not important. But
Understood.
Man, in a Hockey Fights Cancer Month, oncology is where it's at, man. So thank you for that.
Yeah, it was awesome. Thank you so much. And that does remind me, since you mentioned the Canuck, I did want to give a shout out to a guy, Chris, on Long Island. I did get the Tim Tams, Chris. So thank you so much for sending those along. Much appreciated.
And if it's the same Chris, you'll be hearing from me soon as well.
Yeah, it is the same Chris. Yes, it is. Yeah. Our next email comes from Joel. He's in parts unknown, he says. Does that mean he wants us to guess like we used to do back in the day?
We certainly can.
All right. I'm going to say Joel is in, let's see. He is in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
What's he doing there?
He's, working for, at LSU. He's the guy who feeds the tiger in the display they have there, their tiger mascot.
They have a live tiger?
They do. Yeah. He's the keeper of the tiger.
Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah. It is a very,
I will say Joel is writing to us from Buenos Aires, Argentina.
Oh, wow.
Where he is the night manager of a Jiffy Lube.
What do they call that in Argentina? Is it a different name?
Lube de Jiffy.
That sounded Italian or something, but anyway.
It's also gets a lot of business because it's a rare 24/7 Jiffy Lube.
Yeah.
And it has that name, Lube de Jiffy. It has a very, the clientele memorable. At the night is very, they're not expecting an oil change. Let's put it that way.
Well, those are two very good guesses on our part, I'm sure. He says he dresses it Chip and Doughboy. Oh, my.
Yeah.
He says, I got an idea regarding the intro music inspired by another non-sports related podcast I listen to. You could create a new category of Patreon where if you subscribe at that level, you can suggest a quote from the show to be incorporated into the intro music. And each month, say 5 or 8 of those subscribers suggesting get randomly selected and the intro music gets changed each month. This sounds like an awful lot of work, Joel. I think it would be a hilarious way of getting some listener contributions to the show and would probably get you some much deserved additional cash for producing the show each week. Obviously, if this existed, my suggestion would be Eddie screaming, I'm waving a freaking sandwich. And then the voiceover man saying, this is the Puck Podcast. And then Doug saying, but what kind of sandwich was it? either that or a quote that I would have to dig up from Eddie telling the story about going to a game with the misses and Eddie's team winning. So Karen sat in the back of the car for the drive home. anywho, some food for thought. Love the show. Joel from Parts Unknown. P.S. I note you both expressed hatred for puns in last week's show. So sorry to say I'm working on something to contribute to the show, which is pun inspired. So consider this fair warning. Please don't block me in advance. No, we would never do that.
Well, Chip might not, but Doughboy would.
Oh, goodness.
My goodness.
I will say this, Doug. We have a Puck Podcast intern, believe it or not.
I don't believe it.
And I asked him to do some work on an intro, and he has put something together. I have not listened to it yet, so perhaps we could have the intern take Joel's suggestion and do something with that and make a different open every so often. I don't know. I'll have to listen to what he did. I don't know if it's good or bad, But maybe we'll play it at the end of next week's show, and you guys can decide whether you like it or not. Give it the Caesar thumbs up or thumbs down. No, or is that too cruel?
Let's not do that. Let's just, we either decide to go with it or we don't.
Well, yeah, you're right. He may go to HR if we do something like that and complain about the
I think that's more the emails that you send him, but yeah.
All right.
And to clarify Joel's, the story that he referenced, Karen sat in the back seat of the car, not the trunk. Eddie did not put her in the trunk of the car.
Yes, that's, I didn't, I'm pretty sure I said back, the back of the car.
Yes,
the back seat.
But I mean, the back of the car is the trunk.
Yeah, no, I didn't.
Get in. Yeah. You know the deal we had. Whoever's team wins gets to drive, and the loser has to ride home in the trunk. Our next email, he mentioned the puns, and that comes to Rocky in Yorba Linda, California. He says, "Hey guys, I have to apologize for last week's email for the pun on Jack Hughes' name. By the way, friend of the show, Jeff Ponder, and co-host from a few weeks ago, texted me and said he laughed out loud at that. So don't apologize. You got somebody laughing, and the world could always use more laughter. So good on you for that." He said, "In our house, puns and wordplay are a regular feature around hockey games. Jack Hughes is known as the French detective in our home, and there are many others. Landeskog? I didn't know it could fly in the first place. Did someone knock Zadorov? What? Did someone knock Zadorov? Take the window. I'm not pronouncing that. Zadorov? Did someone knock Zadorov? Take the window.
What the hell's going on? I'm confused.
He's doing his puns at his house.
Okay.
Landeskog? I didn't even know it could fly in the first place. Did someone knock Zadorov? Take the window. Who just made that play on the Kings? Dunno.
Oh, boy.
Weren't you watching? Just tell me. Dunno. Too bad Fedor Tutin isn't playing anymore. He was an endless source of amusement. We were rooting for Tutin. Was Putin rooting for Tutin? Did he make a good play against your team? Darn Tutin. He's so proud of himself. He's high.
Where's the gong? Tutin. Is there a gong?
Exactly.
Where's
gong? I think Nipsey Russell and Rip Taylor are fighting for it to see who gongs this.
Get the Sandman out there. Get the Sandman out there.
He's always shooting Tutin. I could go on. There are many more, but you get the point. Anyway, if you call Jack Hughes the French detective, I'll always know who you're talking about. Rocky and your Belinda. Rocky, I get what you're going for here. And some of those are just fine. The Dano, I like that one. Zadorov, that's my bad for pronouncing it wrong in the first place. I get what you're going with there. Not something that I do a lot of, but I can appreciate the wordplay and the humor. And I get that. If you have kids, especially, I have no doubt that absolutely slays them. Wordplay and puns are endless amusement to kids for some reason. So appreciate that, and I hope you made at least one person laugh. Well, you got Eddie at least chuckling over there.
I don't know about
smiling.
That. Our next email comes from Colin. He is in Manhattan, Kansas, the Little Apple. He says, "Hello, Doug and Eddie. Thank you for your excellent podcast." You're welcome. I discovered it recently through Eddie's Locked on Kings podcast. Yeah, all right. We had somebody come over from there. That's nice. Yeah. He says, "I enjoy it very much. I grew up in Southern California, now live in Manhattan, Kansas. I'm obviously a Kings fan. I'm not one of those clamoring for a new open of your podcast, but I do have a request. When you update it, could you please include the soundbite of Eddie announcing that his dog pooped on his bed? I mean, no disrespect to Eddie, but that was the funniest thing I've heard in a very long time. I think it would make a great addition to the open. Thank you for considering my request. I wish you and your families, including Herbie, a very happy Thanksgiving. Go Kings, go. Best regards, Colin in Manhattan, Kansas." All right. Thank you, Colin. I went back and listened to it, and it was funny.
It absolutely was funny because it was out of the, it was so unexpected. And I will say that I know I don't like the mic problems we had in the first period and me, the dog, but the live nature, the live to tape nature of this show, I think does lend itself to some good moments. And Herbie pooping on your bed was definitely one of them. That was fantastic. Well done, Herbie.
And the fact that he absolutely did it on purpose.
Oh, 100%.
It's also like, you little bastard, but it's also pretty funny.
He was probably looking at the door in case you came in so that he could look you right in the eye and be like, You see? Yeah.
And thankfully, it was a healthy movement. So, it wasn't, if it was something else, that could have been a problem.
Yeah, he wasn't.
It was a nice, healthy one. He
wasn't doing a Jackson Pollock.
Yeah, no. He just, you know, get some toilet paper and scoop it up. Everything's fine. So there you
go. Nothing you haven't done in that bed.
Oh, it actually was worse than that. It was way worse than that.
Yeah.
I did literally poop the bed. Yeah,
I know you did.
And right now, Colin is like, "Oh my god, I got to hear that story."
No, and that's the bite that we could also. I did literally. We'll use Eddie's. I'm not going to say the rest of it, so you can't use it on me. But that's another bite for the show. This is Eddie Garcia. Let's get to our next email. That is from our friend PJ in Sydney, Australia, and he says, "Hey gents, greetings from Sydney. I just wanted to say that I too will be holding your Tim Tams hostage until your next visit. Until our next visit. Good God, those are going to expire by then.
I don't know when that's going to happen, my friend. Yeah. I'm not that I don't want to. If I hit the lottery,
I tell you what, send me two tickets and I'm on my way. I will meet you in Flavor Alley, I believe, or Spice Alley, part of Sydney. If you haven't been there, by the way, PJ, go. It is wonderful, wonderful food. Little thing that Jackie and I found. It's an alley off of Main Street, and it's got like 20 different food shops in a very small area. Amazing food. Eat with your eyes, see what you like, and order it. It's fantastic. I'll meet you there for the Tim Tam drop-off. He says, there is a dark chocolate raspberry tart flavor, one that is the Duck's Nuts. I've never heard that term before. Come to think of it, I am feeling a tad peckish. Sounds like those have already been dug into and consumed. The Duck's Nuts, Ed. You ever heard that term?
No, sir.
No. I assume that's a good thing.
I assume.
Yeah. Although, I tell you, that new car you got is the Duck's Nuts.
Yeah. I think you should use that as a Ducks fan.
Believe me. Pavel Minchikov is the Duck's Nuts. Believe me. Checking in also to see if you noticed the Canucks' matte black helmets when taking on the Sharks. Sharp. Pity that Hoglander felt the need to slewfoot LeBanc, even if he did have it coming. I'm sure that Brad Marchand special will attract a slap on the wrist from the ever-consistent player safety department, or not. Who knows? Thanks for the wonderful show, as always, PJ Boyle. I did not see the matte black helmets, but I like the sound.
Nor did I.
Yeah, I'm going to look into that. I did see them wear the throwback, the flying skate there, and I love that color scheme, man. The black with the bright red, yellow stripes on it. That is a great-looking jersey, man. They should really get those going more often, in my opinion.
My last email, I believe, comes from Herbie, who's barking. No. This is from Brian in Mesa, Arizona. And he says, hey, Eddie and Doug, on Eddie's other show, Locked On LA Kings. Well, we're getting some good cross promotion here. The Kings power play and penalty kill have been a big topic of conversation over the last couple of seasons. And it got me curious to look a little closer into the importance of elite special teams play in the context of the overall team results. So I pose this question to the two of you before I continue. In a given year, would you rather have a top five power play or a top five penalty kill? Please answer before continuing. I would go power play, although I think they're both very important, but I would go power play because last time I checked, it's about goals scored.
And I will go penalty kill because it's also about not giving up goals. You can't lose if you don't give up goals. You can't win if you don't score goals, but I am willing to take a middle of the pack or even a bad power play if I have an elite penalty kill, because I think it lets your players play more aggressively knowing we're going to be able to kill that penalty.
That's a fair point. Let's continue. He says, since the 2005-06 season, when the shootout and loser point were instituted, 76 of the 90 teams that were top five in power play percentage made the playoffs, with 9 making the final and 4 winning the cup. Of the teams that had a top five penalty kill, 73 of 90 made the playoffs with 9 cup finals appearances and 6 championships. That's good news for the Kings right now. 15 teams in this 18 season span have finished top five in both categories, with the 2012-13 Flyers having the dubious honor of being the only ones to miss the playoffs, and Doug's beloved 2006-07 Ducks being the only post-lockout team to have a top five penalty kill in power play and hoist Lord Stanley's Cup. Typically, the teams with an elite power play have advanced farther than their penalty kill counterparts, but only by a slight margin. And as I already said, the top penalty killing teams historically lead in the one category that really counts. So after all of that, I pose the same question again. Would you rather have a top five power play or a top five penalty kill? Well, I'll obviously change my answer if it means having a better chance at winning the cup. He says, speaking of the playoffs, since it's American Thanksgiving, I am putting in my pick for those who will make the playoffs this season based on the current standings. So he's doing what we did in the end of the first period. He says, in the East, I have Washington and Tampa Bay falling out of the playoffs, being replaced by New Jersey and Pittsburgh. Philadelphia is playing with belief, and I think that'll be enough to keep them in a playoff position. Final playoff standings he has in the Atlantic, Boston, Toronto, Florida, in the Metro, Rangers, Carolina, New Jersey, and the wild cards, Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. As for the Western Conference, St. Louis and Seattle will fall out in exchange for Arizona and Edmonton. Edmonton, oh my. Woo. I know the Oilers are in a hole, but I believe that their stars enough. I believe in their stars enough to get them into the dance. Final playoff standings in the Central, Colorado, Dallas, Winnipeg, in the Pacific, Vegas, LA, Vancouver, wildcards, Arizona, and Edmonton. I hope you have a happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for the great show. Go Kings, Brian, in Mesa, Arizona. Very nice to tie into what we did at the end of the first period without knowing we were going to do that. So well done.
Yeah, no, appreciate that. And man, the folks in Philadelphia and Edmonton say, from your keyboard to God's inbox, man, that is music to their ears that you think they're going to make the playoffs, especially Edmonton. Boy, oh boy. We don't advocate gambling here, but I bet you could get some good odds over at DraftKings or FanDuel on that. Man, the more I watch sports, though, the more I'm like, there's no way I will ever gamble. It's just so unpredictable. And the things you think, well, this is definitely not going to happen. And then you're like, God, I can't imagine if I lost money on that. So like the Sharks beating the Oilers, that makes no sense. And yet it happened. Our last email comes from Hart in Lake Echo, Nova Scotia. He says, hi, boys. I hope you're both well. If you're Ken Holland, what are you doing about the Oilers' goaltending situation? Do you have any faith in Stuart Skinner? No. And if not, who might you try to acquire? Would you pay a steep price for a higher-end goalie like one of Boston's or Las Vegas's, or attempt another stopgap measure? The Oilers' grease fire needs a solution. Warm regards, Hart in Lake Echo, Nova Scotia. Well, let's go back to the standings. And you're going to have to be pretty quick about this because for it to have an impact, you can't wait until the trade deadline. You got to make a move now while you need a goalie and hope that it catches fire and works. So looking at the standings and talking to the teams that are probably already out of it, I might be calling I would definitely be calling San Jose and saying, what do you got for Mackenzie Blackwood? Because I think he's an upgrade over Jack Campbell. I'm not saying he's the solution, but he's somebody that I would be interested in acquiring. He might be better than what we currently have. And I might talk to Nashville and see if there's any way I could pry UC Saros out of there. If that was the case, I would pay that price, depending on what they were asking, of course. But that would be a guy that if they are looking to start a rebuild with Barry Trotz as the new GM, then I could probably kickstart that with some draft picks and prospects and get it going if they can give me a quality goaltender. So that would be what I would do. I do not have faith in what they currently have in net if I'm Ken Holland. But then again, I wouldn't have had faith in the offseason and I would have addressed it back in the summer. I wouldn't have left myself in this situation at Thanksgiving. I don't think he's going to enjoy his meal without a little indigestion and maybe some Pepto-Bismol to wash it down, because as he looks at the standings, it's just unacceptable. 11 points is completely unacceptable for this team at this point in the season.
Yeah. Well, maybe they can ask Connor McDavid who he wants and maybe who he played junior hockey with to see who they could bring in to help out.
Yeah. You got any goalie friends? You got any buddies that played in your pickup games? Let's get him in here.
Kind of the way they're going.
I see the shot you're taking at
it. Hey! That's going to do it for this week's show. Some great emails. Thank you to all who took the time to email. Appreciate that. It was cool to hear some new people and some people who we've known for quite a while. Very, very nice mix there. Yep. Appreciate that. If you want to send us an email for next week's show, the email address is feedback@puckpodcast.com. We are on Twitter or X or whatever the hell they're calling it. We are at Puck Podcast, Facebook page, facebook.com/puckpodcast. And again, if you would like to support us on Patreon, patreon.com/puckpodcast, we greatly appreciate it.
And we want to thank Travis Howe and Leif Rod again for coming on from NHL Breakaway, and remind you that the Patreon patrons will get first crack at the 100 packs they have set aside for us. So look out for that on our Patreon page. And then after that, it will be posted to our Facebook and Twitter. They are first come, first serve, and completely free to claim and mint and get involved in an NHL breakaway. And the best way to learn about it is to be involved. So if you're interested at all, I encourage you to try and get one of those free packs and get involved for free.
All right. We wish you all a very happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy the food. And,
or Thursday for those of you around the world.
Or Thursday for those of you around the world. That'll do it for this week's show. For my co-host, Doug Stolhan, I'm Eddie Garcia. Thank you, as always, for listening, and we will talk to you next week with another edition of the Puck Podcast.
Are you struggling to lower your bad LDL cholesterol, even though you may be taking a statin, swapping steaks for salads, and exercising while listening to this podcast? Ask your doctor if Repatha Evolocumab is right for you. With Repatha, you can dramatically reduce bad cholesterol and the risk of another heart attack while enjoying life, too, because you're human. And with convenient self-administration, you can take Repatha in the comfort of your own home. Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Repatha can cause serious allergic reactions. Signs include trouble breathing or swallowing, or swelling of the face. Most common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site. Visit Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA. Talk to your doctor today about Repatha.